Oh, hey, hey. Joel Radio here. Welcome into the show. Joel Fragman here. Corey Hall sitting right across from me.
Yo.
Ready to make you laugh for 2 hours or however long it takes.
I got a good 75 a minute.
Okay, that's fine. Well, if we get it, if we make him laugh after 20 minutes, we'll say goodnight. Is that fine?
Okay.
Is that fair? Right. That's it. That's it. In fact, I'll just knock out the last 10 topics. Chelsea Handler's last show sucked. Into the Storm sucked.
Yeah, there you go.
The Emmy sucked.
All right.
Let's, T-Mobile let's... sucks. It's, my basement being flooded sucked.
It's the suck list.
And what a success that show would have been had we called this the suck list.
Let's change it now.
Right now? You want to change it?
We've done absolutely nothing with our own names over 10 years. Let's call it the suck list.
I you know what? It's funny. Somebody told me my friend was listening to your show. I heard this the other day. And I go, how was your friend listening? I go, who is this friend? He goes, you don't even know her. And I go, why was she listening? And he goes, I don't know. But she was listening. I was like,
well,
oh. I was like, okay.
Then if you're listening, call in, leave a message on the hotmail.
On the hotline.
On the Rove Armstrong Douchebag Hotline, 610-552-0746.
Right. It's actually the Kanye West Papa John hotline.
Oh, sorry.
But that's I've never updated the sign
you're
to
so
reflect
right.
that. That's my own poor
the Papa Kanye hotline.
The Papa John Kanye West. And we're going to come up. And Corey calls me almost every day and goes, can we do Assholes of the Year right now?
I know. There's so many candidates.
And I go, no, we can't do the Assholes of the Year right now. But there are them coming. I try to keep, and it's not even, I don't even update it as much. I do keep a Word document throughout the year of the Assholes of the Year. Just so when something happens, I remember. But even that is not up to date. That needs to be updated more quickly.
Some guys have now risen on the table dramatically. Like,
okay.
I had them on, and they keep doing dumb stuff.
Right. They keep doing, they're just not, yeah.
It's too bad she's in the Hall of Fame.
Who's
is that? How that works? Like, the top two are retired? Is that how it works?
Well, I mean, I think the deal is, like, you could pick Kanye West this year. But you have to do it for completely different reasons than what Kanye did. Like,
well,
I guess. I mean, he's still an asshole. But I think, like, I think the assholery carries over, and so yeah, it would require a new assholery.
Mm-hmm.
Like Papa John, you know, it's funny when football season's not happening, you're kind of Papa John free.
That's true.
And I was watching some preseason the other night, and
right.
I saw a new Papa John commercials. I was like, oh, fuck.
We're about to go right back into the Papa John mess.
Yeah, because we're like a week from football season now. We're about 10 days away. So, yeah. So, anyway, that'll be the rule for that. Yeah, you got to have new assholes or assholes that have you know what I mean? Like, you can win the Oscar every year if you act really good in a movie, right? Or you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can win.
Well,
can win.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just saying, did you see Oprah's Ice Bucket Challenge?
I did not. How bad was that?
It was horrible.
But we could do a whole Ice Bucket Challenge review show. Maybe we should have done that.
Why don't we just make the Ice Bucket Challenge the Asshole of the Year?
There's something to it. Well, Howard Stern did his with like one cube of ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that. That was
great.
Kinda...
I didn't want to see Howard with his shirt off.
Yeah, no. Howard's in full board shorts and beach attire, and he drops an ice cube on him, and he did the ice bucket challenge. Yeah. Well. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to.
See, here's a story. I'm looking at my list, and there's a guy I already forgot what he did.
Oh, you're keeping a list now?
Yeah, I've got a list.
Good, that's good. I like to see that
I've
you're
got like 30
working on
30
things.
Plus names. Now.
You've got 30 names already? Fuck.
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm way ahead of you on show prep and stuff, but I think you might have three times the names I do, probably five times.
I got very excited about Asshole.
You just started doing it.
Right around, you know, World Cup time, a bunch of assholes presented.
Oh, well, yeah, the World Cup was full of assholes.
That's a swirling
it really was,
miasma
right.
of assholes.
Yeah, one of my guys is from the World Cup. I'm not going to ruin it, but yeah, there's a guy from the World Cup on my list.
Oh, this, and, you know, we're getting closer to the election.
Yeah, the election's full of
That's going to be a bunch of assholes.
Uh-huh.
It's just there's assholes aplenty.
There's no shortage of douchebags. There's no shortage of assholes. No. There's no shortage of people doing dumb stuff, and they will all be exposed. I mean, the whole Ferguson thing, I mean, boy.
In my 30 names, I don't have anybody involved in that.
Well, start listing. Start looking guys up. I mean.
But there's got to be a litany of.
How about the guy who was with the kid who got shot who told the initial story that made everybody crazy that apparently isn't true? How about that for being an asshole?
Well, this is one of those cases, much like the last one with Zimmerman and
Trayvon Martin. Yeah.
Where the deeper you get into it, you realize, oh, everybody's
everybody.
Asshole.
Yeah, Zimmerman was a dick. Trayvon Martin was a
there's
dick.
There's assholes on both sides.
Yeah, there
there's
really
guys
is,
raising
yeah.
money for the cop.
Uh-huh.
There's Al Sharpton out there doing a dance and chuck
sure.
and jive.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're both assholes here.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there is no shortage of morons out there, and we'll get to the bottom of it. But one thing that came up this week, there's a lot of Robin Williams talk still about, what happened. And I thought we did a pretty good job of eulogizing Robin.
Oh, wait, that's one.
Talking about Robin's the asshole of the year?
No, Henry Rollins.
Oh, Henry. Well, yeah, a lot of guys, there are guys who trashed Robin, and those guys probably deserve to be on the list. You could argue Henry Rollins' Lifetime Achievement Award. But anyway.
He's definitely got Hall of Fame credentials.
But anyway.
Is he a first ballot? I don't know.
You know what? That's a good thing. We don't know. That's a good discussion to have for later. But a lot of this. And today, even on TMZ, they had a thing about he was offered $600,000 for two nights in Vegas, and he turned it down. So people are saying, it wasn't a money thing, and that's why he killed himself. And that was my point, too. Depression, there's really no way to cheer a person that's clinically depressed up.
Right.
You can offer them money. Corey, if you were clinically depressed and I said to you, I'm going to show you Godzilla movies on a loop and Kat Dennings is going to blow you while topless and you're going to get to eat ice cream.
That might help.
I think, but if it will because you're not clinically depressed.
Right, right.
That wouldn't, like right now, you're even saying before the show, you're not feeling your best.
I'm feeling
maybe
low.
That would cheer you up. But if you were clinically depressed, that wouldn't help.
That works on a lot of levels because one, ice cream and Godzilla, I like that.
Exactly.
And two, it would keep Kat Dennings from talking.
Well, she'd be blowing you. You wouldn't have to listen
every
to
minute
her.
She's
yeah.
blowing me, she's not making
but
that bad TV
you
show.
Can't really, well, she would have to blow you upside down so you could look at her tits at the same time, though. Was that what would have to happen? Or
no, I could see the tits.
You would see the tits, and then you'd let her take a breath, sure. Look at the tits, and make her go back down.
Whatever. Oh, my God.
Your wife doesn't listen anymore, right? That's
or blow me. So,
okay. Well, at least she shows you the tits. At least I'm hoping that at least you get to take a peek of those.
If you see my wife, they're hard to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, yeah, but if you were more clinically depressed, there's no cheering you up, and I don't think Robin was distraught over money. The guy clearly had money.
No, I mean, I think not to be like, here's an asshole of the year.
Yeah.
Every open micer who made a post about Robin Williams.
They can relate, man. I can relate to this.
Dude, I know we probably bitched about this last
time. Well, there's a lot of it,
there was a lot of guys that are like, there's guys who've literally done four times, done comedy four times.
Yeah.
On shows they put together.
Sure.
In a club that they manage or something.
Yeah, well. It's,
and they go, I'm a comedian. Robin was a comedian. I can understand his pain.
Right.
Fuck yourself.
I understand when the lights are off.
Right.
I understand when the crowds go.
I have
go.
The urge to be a funny man.
Yeah.
Inside, when I feel so down. Shut up, asshole.
Yeah, it's clinical depression.
The only difference between all of us and Robin Williams,
yeah.
$50 million.
Yeah.
40 years in show business and the adulation of millions of people around the planet. The guy, a fucking gorilla. Did you see that video of
Coco the talking gorilla was sad.
A gorilla loved him.
All right. The gorilla might be the asshole of the year. I don't know if that gorilla qualifies. I'm not buying for a goddamn second the gorilla was sad about Robin Williams. I don't buy that the gorilla.
No, that was a bunch of junk.
The gorilla. And now, granted, if Robin Williams dies in a gorilla cage, I could see the gorilla being sad. But I don't believe that the gorilla. I don't believe the gorilla, opened up TMZ and saw that Robin Williams died and became sad. I'm not buying that story. I'm sorry.
No.
My bullshit detectors went off on that.
You're saying you didn't buy that?
No, the
bullshit detector.
But one thing that that did come up, and this only is tangentially related to Robin.
I don't think we had the Parkinson's news at the time.
Well, yeah, that too. But again,
that definitely changes.
You know, that could affect a person. Sure, I could see that.
That to me was kind of a big deal, which was not known the first couple.
Right,
days.
But there was some Parkinson's doctor said that. With the drugs we have nowadays, it would be decades before he even had symptoms.
Him, that might have been a big deal where he'd say, I'm going to lose who I am. But again, we're doing this wild speculating.
Let's stop with that. Because one thing that did come up recently or this week, I saw this on a Facebook through a fellow comedian, was a guy posted. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I think it was Greg Hilbers who posted this.
Yeah.
I never heard of Greg Hilbers, but he's a friend of a friend. And he posted this list of stand-up comedians that were part of the 1979 strike against the Comedy Store.
Wow.
And he posted this on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I thought this thing would go viral and blow up, and apparently it didn't. Because I looked at it today, and there was like 5 comments, and about 40 people liked it. And I was like, okay. But I think this is fascinating. Somebody on there commented.
Well, when we post it, we'll be sure it doesn't go viral.
We'll keep it in obscurity right here on today's show. But somebody said that this was like the Declaration of Independence of comedy. That's what this looked like because it was all of the names. Now there's what? Are there 100 names on this list? 75 names? What would you say? I mean, I guess you could count these if you want.
Yeah, it's a pretty good estimate.
It's 3/4 of a typed page, a very small print, and it's basically a
75,
list.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a list of comedians in what is largely alphabetical order that were part of the
Elaine Boozler is on the end without being in alphabetical
order. Elaine Boozler is not in alphabetical
order. May have been a late addition.
But, I mean, there's names you know on here like, big stars, Gallagher, Jay Leno, Gary Shandling, Sandra Bernhardt, Elaine Boozler, Marsha Warfield. Then there's people like, Shirley Hemphill is on here. She was on What's Happening at the time. And there's lots of other,
Charles Fleischer, Roger Rabbit.
George Miller, Paul Mooney. Sure. Lots of guys around this time.
Alison Arngrim, who was on Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, okay.
But she was also a stand-up.
Bruce Baum, one of your favorites.
Bruce Baby Man Baum.
And Barry Diamond, who I worked
with. Deny Kip Adada.
Kip Adada. But it's such a crazy thing to just see all these names on here and like these guys and about how many, Johnny Witherspoon is on here, who was in the Friday movies and is still working today. So it's a pretty amazing list of people that, 35 years ago went through this thing. Tim Reed.
Yeah.
Is on here.
Tim Reed was partners with Tom Dreesen. Tom Dreesen was kind of the ringleader.
Yeah.
And they had a partner act. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole book on it.
Yeah.
Tom and Tim. And they were like the first, they claimed to be the first. I don't see anybody else stepping up to claim this title. The first mixed partners.
First black-white comedy team. Might be the last black-white comedy team, for all I know.
I can't really... I mean, like, obviously there's guys like Louis C.K. wrote for Chris Rock. There's obviously that kind of stuff, but in terms of it, you don't see a lot of double acts very often.
Yeah, that works for me.
Will Schreiner is on here. That's mm-hmm. a...
But, but I saw this list and I said, man, what a thing. For those of you that don't know what the 79 Comedy Store strike was, basically, comedians, when the Comedy Store opened, all the comedians that were out there were working for free. They were working, they were getting stage time and using that to get breaks on things like The Tonight Show.
Yes.
Or being able to tour and all this stuff and opening for, playing Vegas, that kind of stuff. And at some point, the comedians decided, hey, we deserve to get paid for this. We're doing all these shows.
The business was really closed off before this.
Yeah.
Before this, guys were Catskills Comics, and you did that, and you did vaudeville shows.
Well, you would do casinos or something, but comedians were not...
There was a nightclub circuit before there was a comedy club circuit.
And
I was listening to WTF, and Bob Newhart said he was untested.
Yeah.
And they wanted to record his Button Down Mind album. And no one would give him stage time.
Oh, okay.
like, you know, nowadays everybody records a comedy album after they've been doing comedy for 6 weeks. And some guys are on their fourth album and they're 3 years in business.
Okay.
But no one would let Bob Newhart have a club anywhere. And finally a place in Houston said, okay, we got a week. You're untested, but we'll give you. And then that album was like the biggest comedy album of all time.
Right. So basically what happened is in the 70s, the Comedy Store being the first of these. I guess the Improv in New York was the first one. But it was a place for just comedians. And comedians, even though they were getting great shots out of this, they were getting great opportunities, they decided we deserve to get paid for this. And so they had this strike in 79. Ultimately, the strike was resolved. You know, but Jay Leno was part of the strike. David Letterman was part of the strike. Richard Pryor was part of the strike.
Although Letterman's name's not on this list.
Letterman's name isn't on this list. I don't know if Letterman was doing TV on this, but Letterman, you know, according to I'm Dying Up Here, which was sort of the best document of that period, the book by William Koldesinger or whatever his name is.
Nodelsader,
which you should.
It rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does.
But you should get that book if you want to know more about
this. Why doesn't he just change his name to something simpler?
Like Bill Smith or something.
like Gold Jew.
I don't know. You'd have to ask
Nodelsader.
Maybe I could talk to about this list. Get him on the phone.
It's William Nodelsader.
He's in that documentary called Sunset Strip, if you want to hear a little bit more about this. It's not completely about this, but there's about a 15-minute section about the Comedy Store, and Bill is in that. Anyway, so this list was fascinating because it's a document that someone left in a drawer or somewhere, some file, for 35 years and put it on Facebook, and I was fascinated. I sent it to Corey. Corey loved it, and I said, wow, you know what would be cool is since we have all these numbers now...
Do they still work?
That's sort of what we're going to try to solve today.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to try to figure out if there's anyone that will actually answer the phone. I mean, look, someone's going to answer the phone. Will we get Jay Leno on the phone? That seems to be the question. No, I personally, first of all, I think the first thing we got to do, and maybe you can do this, you're sitting in front of a laptop, we got to determine what the area code for these is, because there are some with an area code, but I'm guessing those people lived out of town or something. I see 714 here, but so I'm guessing, is it 818 in L.A.? 818 is the Valley.
Let me figure out what the old one is.
213, maybe? Like, you should probably, I'm guessing these people lived in, like, Hollywood. Los Angeles County, anyway.
I would guess most of them probably lived fairly close to.
And then I think the other guys might have lived. Well, look up what the L.A. area code is right now, like the central L.A. one.
310.
It's 310. Okay. And I'm writing this down. 310. And then can you look up what the 714 area code is?
Look up Hollywood.
Yeah, maybe look up the area code for Hollywood or for either downtown Los Angeles.
Because I would imagine a lot of comics lived in, like, North Hollywood.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sort of
in
West
the
Hollywood.
Cheaper shit. But,
And they might have lived
323.
Is what? Hollywood?
That would be the Hollywood area code.
Oh, God. Can you look up, like, an old, like, what was the area code in 1979? Do you think
it was split from 213 on June 3rd, 1998.
So these numbers would then all be 213 numbers. Is that safe to say? Does that seem like that's the thing?
Yeah, because, you know, I know we've had multiple area codes here.
Right, we were all 313.
Everything
forever.
Was 313, and then it became 810, and then 810 is gone.
Yeah, 810 was the... No, 810 is now like Saginaw, Bay City, Flint.
Oh, okay.
And 586 is now like Macomb County. 248 is Oakland County. 734 is Washington.
There is
County.
Nothing more riveting than this... You know, area code.
Well, if you want to hear my spinoff podcast, it's called Joel Talks Area Codes.
Oh, it's the best.
You can subscribe to that. I haven't been plugging it much on here.
Oh, God.
But it's 90 minutes of riveting area code talk every week.
About codes.
It's every week. Area code talk. So I guess we're going to call 213 in front of most of these numbers, unless they have a different area code listed.
213 was one of the three first original area codes established in 1946.
Okay. Good. So that would be OG, because I just know how Detroit split our area codes. We would have done We would have done that in the mid 80s or the late 80s.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember going to early 90s. I think there was a party for the 810 area code. It was like launching the 810 area code, and they were letting balloons off that 810.
Well, I remember people going like, it's racist now that the whiteys got 810. And, like, Detroit has 313. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have a 313 number. I'm OG.
It is funny
how... OG.
Well, Amy...
Keeping it real.
Amy had a 269.
What is that?
I don't know. And she
what the fuck
to,
is that?
She had to change it.
Yeah, I would think
because
so.
Because people were like, where the hell is this? Well,
yeah, like yeah. It seems there. Although now, you know, nobody really pays long distance anymore. So the area code is really just three new digits. In the past, it went like, oh, fuck, I got to call a goddamn, you know, this is long distance to me. It's a different area code. Because even when they spun off 810, I think, in Detroit, wasn't it like, didn't it become a toll call to call 313 or something? Like it was very weird for a while. And we all had landlines. And it was sad. It was a tough time. People had bill.
I'm thinking back to this
the dark
time.
Days.
Do you remember when you used to like be on the phone with a girl?
Oh yeah,
for,
I remember
like a long time.
Oh yeah,
bitches won't talk to you anymore.
Oh yeah, it's all texting.
They'll text you.
It's so annoying, or they want to chat on Facebook.
Why? What the hell's with that?
Oh, it's so annoying.
You try jerking off to a chat?
It's very difficult.
No, I used to be on the phone for hours.
You're mirror. You're not going to answer these questions anymore.
What? Go ahead.
You don't Snapchat then.
I don't Snapchat.
Someone told me to Snapchat, and I set up a Snapchat.
Yeah.
And then it like goes through your contacts to find other people on Snapchat. And then I looked at that list and went like, I got to get off this. This is the douchiest list of people.
Well,
it went like...
That's the reason I wouldn't Snapchat is specifically that, because it's just identifying you.
Well, it's skeevy, yeah.
As a perv.
It's like, I'm sending pictures of my dick to these people. It's like, I can't do that. Yeah, I can't do that. Like I said, I think we've gone through this on the show. I've never done a dick pic, and I never will.
Well, Snapchat is like, it's like putting a political sign on your front lawn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just, people know who you're voting for. They'll know you're a perv, and you want to see, you know, what else?
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of conventional means by which naked pictures can be exchanged. Do we really? What are people doing? They use the mail. They had to send
Polaroids, and then you'd have to put them into an envelope.
You have to put them in an envelope. A lot of work.
Nudes of you. Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
God, technology has made it so easy.
It really has.
I could send a nude to every person I've ever known in my entire life in the next 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Let's do it right now. Joel Radio.
Why don't we send dick pics to all the numbers on
I'm going to send Marsha Warfield a picture of my balls. Hold on a second.
The late great. Oh, and Marsha Warfield's still alive? Yeah, she's
probably. Marsha Warfield.
Shirley Hemphill's gone.
Shirley Hemphill's gone. Well, why don't I just start calling?
How about
these?
John Witherspoon? Let's send him a dick pic.
Who do we call first?
Let's just randomly. Well, Mike Binder's from Michigan.
Well, maybe I should call Mike Binder first.
And he's from Birmingham.
You want to call Binder first?
Call Binder and be like, hey, I work for Mark Ridley, and he wants to know. He wants to know.
I think his name's going to be left off this.
Just
let's
be like,
see.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mike. I work for Mark Ridley, and I want to know how much.
Yeah.
Can you pay him back the $150 bucks you owe?
Well, you know, I don't think that's what I'm going to do.
No?
I'm going to call Binder. I plug the number in.
All right,
are you ready?
I'm going to call Mike Binder. See what
let's
you get.
Listen to. Let's see if Mike Binder answers. Now, here's the other thing I want you to do, Corey. We can't mention where we're from. Because
okay.
It might be illegal if I'm putting these people on the air.
My number
is on here, and that's fine. Or should I? Ooh, should I block my outgoing number? But then no one will answer.
Right.
Oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of the legality of
well,
this.
Well, yeah, your number.
My number is coming up. I think we'll be fine, right?
All right.
I'm just going to say I'm looking for Mike. I'm going to call this number. I'm going to say I'm looking for Mike. I want to know about the 79 strike at the Comedy Store.
All right.
And if you're willing to talk about it, that's what I'm going to do. All right, you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Are you exciting? Is your blood pumping? I'm like nervous.
All right,
I'm nervous.
We're gonna get like, here's what we're gonna get. Housekeeping.
Yes, exactly. Well, that'll be funny too. Let's see. This is going out right now.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer
available. Oh, so we're already...
If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Cross off Mike Binder. There's no Mike Binder.
Well, what about Gallagher? Should we try Gallagher?
Okay, now I'll give you 10. I think Gallagher might have. Of all the guys on this list, for some reason, I just kind of feel like Gallagher would keep the same number for 40 years. I'll talk to Gallagher.
All right, let's try Leo Gallagher.
I know Gallagher. I've worked with Gallagher.
Oh.
Gallagher.
Let's ask him what the best kind of melon to smash is.
You have 9009, because I kind of underlined it. Is that the last four for Gallagher?
764.
Well, don't yeah, but then, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, just say yes. If this is actually Gallagher, I might have to delete this from that portion of the show. Oh, Gallagher's wheeling and dealing. We got a busy signal for Gallagher. All right.
Well,
you want to talk to Leno?
Yeah.
Or should we call the chick? Should we call Boozler first?
Yeah. I wonder if Leno said it.
Working on my car.
Maybe it's the phone.
What about Shanling? Maybe I should call Gary Shanling.
There's no fucking way Gary Shanling's number works.
But how do you do it? What's a Shanling? Well, I'm not here.
How's my hair? I can't even do a Shanling.
Let's try Gary Shanling. This is so fun.
Call Gary Shanley.
If anyone has Gary Shanley's real number, send it to me. I'll call him. This is Gary Shanley's 35-year-old phone number.
Welcome to Verizon.
God damn
Wireless.
It!
The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected.
All right. Fuck. Look, all right. Famous people change.
Let's keep trying. Well, what did I call Leno yet?
No, try Leno.
Okay, because I want to. I'm not giving up here.
All right.
Leno.
Welcome to Verizon.
God damn it.
The
number you...
God, is there
the
anybody?
Best part is that Gallagher's the only number that's
still... What if I just call a number at random?
All right.
Well, Byron Allen.
Oh, that, please.
Yeah, he's got so many girlfriends. He must change his number every 2 minutes. What about Jeff Altman? We like Jeff Altman.
He's got two area codes.
Well, he's got two numbers. I'm just going to call the first one for Jeff Altman. God damn it, this sucks.
Welcome to Verizon.
Oh, man.
Long distance or international dialing is not included with your service.
Oh, I got to hang up.
Interesting.
Well, let me try that again.
Try the other number?
Yeah, I'll try the other number. Surprised we haven't gotten like a fax machine yet or something. Or was this pre-fax machines?
Welcome to Verizon
God
Wireless.
Damn it.
Your call can
be...
All right. Well, let me try... I know the guy. Let me try Ken Savara.
Why, all right.
Right? I mean, what's the harm in that?
I think the big names have changed their phone numbers by now.
The big names have. And Ken's not that big a name. But Ken, let's see if he answers.
I bet Bruce Baum's sitting by the phone.
Oh, this one's ringing, Corey.
What?
It's ringing.
Hello?
Is this Ken Savara?
It is.
Ken, it's Joel Fragomeni from Joel Radio. How you doing, Ken?
Hey, buddy.
No,
how are you?
I'm very good, Ken. Yeah, I just spent. I just called Jay Leno, and Gallagher, and Gary Shanling, and Elaine Boozler, and Jeff Altman, and no one answered.
Nice.
Although Gallagher had a ringtone.
Gallagher did. Gallagher was busy. We got a busy signal at Gallagher's house. But Ken is on this list. But of course, this is not Ken's 1979 number. Of course, I don't want anyone to get their ears. Ken lives outside Chicago and has a radio show now. And I've worked with Ken a couple times on the road. Do you remember working together, me and you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we worked. I know we worked at Pesto's in Grand Blanc.
Right.
Which was a club that no longer exists. They had a...
Which, by the way, had great food.
Oh, yeah, great food, yes.
And Sammy was always... He always brought out cannolis for me, which was awesome.
That is one of the joys of the road, was when, you know, you go to these gigs, sometimes the crowd sucked. I remember, like Pesto's had a sound system that must have cost $12. It was the worst sound system. The microphone was, like, from Radio Shack. It was the biggest piece of junk. But you ate like a king there. That was the good thing about that gig.
Well, the thing is, for an Italian, see, I come into this thing where I go, Olive Garden is not Italian food. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's good food, but it's not Italian food.
I wouldn't even go that far.
You know, if anybody found a preservative in my mother's kitchen, we would have all shot it.
I'm the same way. I have an Italian grandmother who could make some sauce. She'd sit there all day. You never went over a house where there wasn't a pot of sauce on.
Exactly.
All the time. Meatballs,
exactly.
Sauce, the whole thing. So anyway, Corey Hall is here. Say hi to Corey.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hey, Corey, what's up, man?
And Corey also does comedy, and he's a writer, and he's on the morning show here in Detroit.
Yeah.
I can't hear you at all.
Not at all? No, okay. I'm trying to get Corey so you can hear him, but that'll be fine. Anyway, we're going through this list of these comics. Now, I know I sent this to you today. From 79, and this was like the list of the strike. Do you remember this list?
Let me pull it up here.
Yeah, because I was like, now when I read, I went through I'm Dying up here today to see, and they said that somebody smuggled the list out of the Comedy Store offices
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they said. But this is like a it's an alphabetical list, and it's got like a who's who of comedy in 79's number on it. It's amazing. I love it.
Hold on 1 second. Let me punch this up.
Yeah, because it's like, and there's your name, and there's a couple other guys like Sean Morey is on here.
Yeah.
But a lot of the names are just, you know them because they were superstars. And then there's people.
But, you know that, like I said, I mean, that are we on the air now?
Yeah, we're on the air now, Ken, yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that we weren't just talking.
Yeah.
Because I can babble about anything.
Well, but so can we, believe me.
You know, that was a very interesting time in Los Angeles, because the way the strike came about is when Mitzi Shore just had the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard, nobody complained. It was originally started by Sammy Shore, and it was a showcase club.
Yeah.
Sammy would allow his friends who were doing the Tonight Show to, you know, they needed a place to work and to try out their material. So Sammy would allow them to break in their Tonight Show sets or whatever else they wanted to audition for. It was originally run by Sammy. And then in the divorce settlement, Mitzi got the club. Mm-hmm. When Mitzi got the club, it changed in an enormous way. It became a much bigger business. And nobody was complaining when she just had the club on Sunset Boulevard. But suddenly she opened a club in Westwood. She opened a club in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And she annexed the 500-seat Art LeBeau's, which was adjoining the Comedy Store. She bought him out and annexed that room. Now that turned into the Comedy Store main room. So suddenly now the Comedy Store is turning into a very large business. Mm-hmm. Mitzi was paying the waitresses, the busboys, the delivery people. She was paying everyone but the comics. And since most comics were going out to L.A. to try to establish their careers, they needed a way to make a living. And Tom Dreesen and several other comics, Elaine Boozler and several other people, got together and said, you know, this is crazy. We're the ones providing the work. Everybody else is just kind of, you know, doing what they're doing. They're getting paid. We're not. We've got to put an end to this. We need to get some kind of pay for doing this stuff. So we went out on a strike line for a very, very long time. I mean, I can't remember exactly how long this strike lasted, but it was a long time. And consequently, in those days, you only had a couple of clubs in L.A. You had the Sunset Comedy Store. You had the Improv on the outskirts, you in Pasadena. You have the Ice House, of which I'm part owner. And you have the Comedy Magic Club. And
which are still, both of those were, still there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Both of those are still there.
Yes. They're all still there,
yeah,
but at the time it was basically the Comedy Store and the Improv. So if you were thrown out of one, you might as well pack your bags and go home. And, you know, it was frightening because we didn't know what the outcome of the strike was going to be. We didn't know if she would eventually capitulate or not.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that it all came to a head was they got the unions to shut down her linen supply deliveries and other things. Mm. And you know, so it was a very frightening time for the comedians to be on that picket line, because if you were labeled a striker, you didn't know whether you were getting back in the Comedy Store or not. And if you were thrown out at that time, you might as well just go home, because you would have no place to showcase.
Yeah. Now I'm looking, this list is about 75 names. So there are people who actually continued working like the Comedy Store and didn't want to be part of the strike. How many people did that? Because this is like 75 names.
Didn't Shandling cross the line?
I can't remember exactly who crossed. I believe he did. And there was friction. You know, there was a lot of friction, because first of all, they say comics never, get together on anything.
Yeah.
We proved that that was not true.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, guys did cross, guys who were very close to Mitzi. We were one of the first acts that were allowed back into the Comedy Store after the strike because Mitzi took a special liking to us. We were Midwestern guys. She was from Green Bay. We were from Chicago.
And you were in a comedy team at that point, right?
I'm sorry?
You were in a team at that point, right?
Yes, I was in a team named O'Brien and Severa.
Okay.
And we did extremely well out there. I mean, we got all of the peripheral shows. We couldn't get the Tonight Show because Johnny Carson did not take too much to teams. He had a couple teams on, but he did not like teams, and so it was harder for teams to get on the show.
Wow. All right. So now and then. What were you guys asking for at the time, money wise? Like, did you?
I think it was very. I think it was very modest. I think it was like $25 a set, if I remember correctly. I could be off on that.
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't asking a lot. We were just asking for something.
Yeah.
Something to, you know, because most of the guys who were out there had part-time jobs. You know, it was, like I said, it was, when you first went out to L.A., it was a meager existence. You had to work your way into the system. You had to have enough road clubs to support yourself, be out of town enough to where you could make money, and then come back and sit in L.A. and audition, because that's why you're in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get exposure on television, and so many guys go out there with the wrong idea. They go out there with the idea that they're going to live in L.A., but they don't stay there. They're on the road primarily most of the time. Well,
yeah.
Then you don't. If you're a club comic, you know you don't need to be in L.A. But if you have higher aspirations of doing, you know, radio, doing television, getting a sitcom, and doing things like that, you have to really stay there.
Yeah, that's still the thing that people go through now when they go out there is they go, well, now I can't make money. So they
right.
go back to they come back to Detroit or the Midwest or whatever, and they work there, and then they're not in L.A., and they're not getting the opportunities they went out there originally to get.
That's exactly right. My recommendation to anybody going to L.A. is, first of all, try to get a manager before you go out there.
Wow.
Because the manager gets you the opportunities. He's going to get you into the agencies and all of the other things where you need to be seen. If you go out there cold, you're basically just sitting there. You're staring at a bunch of walls and trying to determine how you're going to get into all of these different places.
Yeah.
It's even 10 times more difficult now than when we were out there, because we were out there, you know, maybe there were 200 working comics in the country. Now the Comedy Store registry has like 5,000 names on it. So you've got to have a better plan, and the plan is not to just go out there and sit and wait for something to happen. You should try to assemble the pieces of that plan before you even get out there, if that's possible.
Yeah, Corey. You hear that? That's good advice for you.
My plan is to not go. I don't see Letterman's name on this list, but he was sympathetic to the strike, right? He was friends with a lot of these guys.
Oh, yeah, and Jay was. And, you know, when we started the strike, it was just basically that everybody was kind of fed up at the same time. We had seen Mitzi, you know, and Mitzi's a good person. You know, she really is. I came through this not hating Mitzi. I understood both sides of the strike. But I also understood that unless I started making some money, my time out there would be short and I'd be coming back to the Midwest. So we needed something, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of understood both sides. She was trying to protect her money. We were trying to protect ours. But when she built the mansion on the hill and you know, then everybody started going, wait a minute now.
Right.
We're the guys doing the work. We need to be we need to be paid here.
No, I agree with that. And I think that's right. And even now you hear guys talk about, you know, we're not going to take this club pay and we're not going to take $300 a week to work in these clubs, and then, you know, and then if you don't do it, like, somebody else does, so you're kind of stuck.
Well, yeah, and exactly, and I read an article in Rolling Stone years ago, And this is after my father was always telling me, you know, invest your money. It was really funny because we were talking one day and he goes, hey, let me ask you something. You know all those girls that you have bought drinks for on the road? I said, yeah. He goes, where are they now?
Yeah, exactly.
And the light bulb went off in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and then I read an article in Rolling Stone by Johnny Carson. And Carson said, in order to be successful in show business, you had to have FU money.
Yeah.
And he said that way when the club owner calls you with the gig you never wanted in the first place, yeah. FU.
Yeah.
So I discovered Wall Street.
Oh.
And I became a trader. I had a great mentor. And comics don't realize how important it is to have money. Mm. I mean, they it's the money is the power. The money gives you the ability to say the word no many times over, and they're not going to respect you until you give them the word no.
Wow. That's good advice. Because we know guys like that. We know guys that...
They don't respect me when I say yes either, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that is true, because when you're desperate and you need that loot, you know, you go, I need that $300 to pay this bill or that bill, and then you just become their dog, and you just end up going
that's
everywhere.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And jeez. We've got to get, you know, as a group, we've got to get smarter, because so many comics undercut other comics and things like that.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how we lose our financial power.
Jeez,
you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm with Ken. I think he's making a lot of sense.
There's a lot of interesting names on this list of people you don't think of as stand-ups, like Mark Summers, who kind of became a game show host and he's a producer.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Mark has turned into a phenomenal producer of all these shows on TV. And, you know, so many of these guys... there are comics from Chicago, Carla Felicia, who's now working on Mike and Molly, and a lot of comedians. Joey Gutierrez from Chicago has turned into a producer and has produced some of the best television shows on TV right now. Steve and Leo, who were a comedy team, wrote Tim Allen's movie The Santa Claus and the Michael Jordan animated film that he did with the Warner Brothers characters. These guys, you know, a lot of them went from understanding that, you know, if you perform on the road, the money eventually is minimal, and there's ageism in this business too.
Yeah,
so you get in, you know, you get into your 40s and you're going to find out that the jobs start drying up because there is ageism in this business.
Yeah, I'm in my 40s now.
Yeah, right. Well, right, and that's why, you know, it's so important. You have so many earning years to make your bones and to establish your life, and there's no time like the present to start, you know, saving it and investing it, because this has been the Achilles heel that they've known for a long time about us, is that if you don't have money, they can exploit you in any way possible.
Wow, that's good advice. I like this.
You know,
I like what you're saying.
You're bumming me out, but thanks, Ken. This is...
Well, you know, it's power.
Yeah.
You know, most comics come from a very liberal bent.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, everybody's allowed, in my mind, it's America. You can believe whatever you want. But consequently, from that, there is no emphasis on dollars. And they've come to believe what the media has told them, that being wealthy is evil.
Yeah.
And consequently, in our business, more than any other business, there's more exploitation of talent than in many other businesses. So
well,
we become
true.
Slaves to their whims, you know.
Jeez, well, I like Ken's got it all figured out. I like this.
So,
a lot of this was my dad. He just kept saying, in fact, I'll tell you guys, this is another great story about my dad. I broke up with a girl one time, so I'm wallowed in self-pity. I'm sitting in the kitchen. My dad walks in, he goes, what's the matter with you? I said, well, I just broke up with my girlfriend. He goes, really? How many women do you think there are in the world? And I said, billions? He goes, "That's right," and he walks out.
Oh, well, that's one way to look at it. There's,
that
I
is
think,
harsh,
it's,
but
and that does apply to comedy in a sense that there'll always be another, you know, club that comes along. There'll always be another gig. There'll always be another booker.
There'll always be another sucker who will do the bad gigs.
Yeah, that's true. That is
right.
All right. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, you know, last week we did our big memories. Corey interviewed him, and I had a weird connection with him. But talk about Robin Williams. I know you knew him at least a little bit from back in the day.
I worked with Robin a lot at the Comedy Store. I did not hang out with him or anything. Right. But last week on my show, I have a show on WIND Radio in Chicago. It's called Fly By Night. It's on at 1 a.m. your time, Eastern time.
Okay.
They can get it at www.560wind.com. But we talked about Robin. We had a special tribute show to him with two of my friends, Wayne Powers and Tony D'Elia, who were in the improv group, very famous improv group called Off the Wall, which contained Robin and Susan Elliott and a lot of other people. And I knew Robin. I met him at the Comedy Store, worked with him a lot at the Comedy Store in improv. It was very devastating to hear that he had passed away. I think when I first heard the announcement, the first thing I thought of, oddly enough, was suicide.
Yeah.
I thought, I wonder if he just, you know, after all of these years, he just kind of had enough and just couldn't take it anymore. And then you find out, you know, that he had the onset of Parkinson's disease. Well, one of the symptoms of Parkinson's is depression.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm so saddened by this because, you know, when you saw the talent this guy had, it was just a whole other category of talent. And I was standing in the back of the Comedy Store with him one night, and he and I were talking, and he was just being himself. He wasn't being the frenetic Robin Williams. And then they introduced him, and he went on stage, and it was like, as I described it on the Chicago news station, it was like a neutron bomb went off.
Yeah.
He could shift from 0 to 1,000 in just a couple of seconds.
He just flicked the light switch and go crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the talent was so overwhelming that you just stood there and I mean, if you didn't see the talent, you were blind.
Well,
it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, he was an extraordinary talent in a class all of his own.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing is, and you know, when you look back at that scene, even, you know, looking at this list of guys, it's like, God, you know, Robin was the best guy. You know, I mean, he was then, and even now is still considered, you know, the best of his class. If you look at this,
if any individual comic was a star, Robin was a galaxy.
Yeah,
right.
No, I agree with you.
And you know, he not only was he a great comic, but geez, look at what he's done acting wise.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah,
you know, he could go from and the range was unbelievable. He goes from Good Morning Vietnam to Dead Poets Society to Good Will Hunting. Yeah. I mean, that's a talented guy.
No, he was. And that's the thing about this, and that why I think me and Corey, like I was telling you earlier today, you know, we look at this scene and that Comedy Store scene of the late 70s and early 80s and go, well, that's where our superstars came from. And you know, with Leno leaving and Letterman leaving soon and, like, Robin, it kind of feels like this is – it's sort of starting to fade a little bit. And we like to just think about that as that was the golden age of comedy, you know?
Yes, it truly was. I compared that stage in comedy – to what it must have been like to live in Liverpool in the 60s when phenomenal bands were coming out. Well, this was our Liverpool.
Yeah.
And because television is so fragmented today, you have to ask yourself, will there ever be superstars like this? Because now you have 9,000 channels, where in those days you started with 3 and then cable television broke out with HBO and Showtime. But and by the way, when that happened, the rules shifted, because one day you were told, put on a suit and tie, do your 8-minute bit, make sure it's spotlessly clean, and go out and do Johnny Carson. Well, the next day it was, put on a set of jeans, they could even have holes in them, you know, go on television. Now you can say whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And so that paved the way for guys like George Carlin,
yeah,
Gallagher, and several others who really took advantage of that. And it was a complete and total shifting of the way people approach television.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the time, Ken. This is a fascinating talk,
The address for the show again, your radio show.
Thank you. It's called Fly By Night. It's on Saturdays at midnight in Chicago, 1 a.m. your time. We have actors, comics, lots of comedians on the show, sportscasters, you name it. We've got them all, but it's all geared towards entertainment. It's www.560wind.com.
All right, Ken. Hey, man, thank you so much. This is a great talk.
Guys, thank you.
And
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for sticking around and keeping the fight alive, man.
There you go. There's another guy, Ken Cervera, doing his thing. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you later, man.
Okay, guys, take care.
Okay, just Ken. How about that? That was a good talk, huh?
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. I mean,
no, it's a good informative. I would hope he would have shit on a couple people. But
I was going to ask him about Ollie Joe Prater and if he was a piece of shit or not. But you know, hey,
there's
only so much time
on this list. There is a lot of weird. Like I said, there's Mark Summers who
did
Double Dare.
Sure,
there's people on there. Charles Fleischer who was Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
There's guys you don't think of as stand-ups that are on this list, and I want to ask him about Frank Welker. Who's a voiceover guy?
Well, see, this is what maybe you got to. We'll have Ken back, and we can talk about it.
Maybe we'll get Binder.
Well, Ken, that's the thing about I worked with Ken on the road years ago, and was like, oh, here's a guy that's on the road, and he's got an act. You know, and here's one of the things about Ken, and it's not like you see these guys who've been around for 25 years, and I actually like when I hear a guy who's got that style. You know what I mean? That sort of early 80s sort of comedy style. And that Ken has, and it's very refreshing. Cause,
I didn't when I started.
Yeah.
I didn't like that style.
Yeah, sure.
But now I do see guys, and I can respect.
Yeah, you have to have that respect for him, and go like, well,
I can respect it.
You don't want a guy that's in his 50s or 60s coming out and sounding like Dane Cook. It just sounds bad. It sounds forced. You can hear where Ken came from, and it's in his show, and you can hear that he has the wisdom and the knowledge of all these years of comedy. And when I saw his name on this list, I went like, oh, he's my Facebook friend. I'll get a hold of Ken and have him on.
That was very nice of him to
it was very nice.
Share some memories
and I'm gonna just,
of the old times.
Maybe I should just wait. Yeah. I want to call Gallagher back because that fucking busy signal just is enticing
me. Did that taunt you?
Anyway, maybe at the end of the show. All right, let's move on. Speaking of show business, the Emmys were this week. Do you want to talk about the Emmys at all? You have any thoughts? Because I maybe saw half the show, and my thoughts are not all that much. I mean, I saw the Seth Meyers monologue. I saw they let Jimmy Kimmel come out, and he got to do a little monologue, and before he introduced somebody, and I don't know. I kind of felt like the Emmys this year was kind of a click. Like it was kind of like a cool kid party.
This is my problem with the Emmys, okay?
And it was all sort of like just plugs for the show because it's the fall and the season
starting. They gave
starting.
Jim Parsons another Emmy.
Yeah.
This is why the Emmys does this more than any other award show,
they just
show,
keep
I
giving
think.
The same guy.
The Oscars, Paul Newman didn't have an Oscar.
Right.
Couldn't have been a more successful,
right.
beloved,
yeah.
critically acclaimed. I mean, he made Cool Hand Luke, made some of the greatest.
There's not even really bad Paul Newman movies. Unlike, it's hard to name one.
Ones that are bad, like Buffalo Bill and the Indians, are bad by Altman standards, good.
Yeah.
Like, he rarely made a bad movie.
Exactly, yeah.
There's not like Robin Williams, if I pull his IMDb up.
There's some bad Robin
There's
Williams
a galaxy
movies.
Of garbage in there.
And there's bad Kevin Spacey movies, and there's bad Tom Cruise movies, and there's bad Brad Pitt movies, and there's bad.
Right.
But Newman
but Paul
is
Newman
a guy,
had great taste.
Yeah.
Well, you could name 10 of his movies that are some of the 100 greatest ever made. Mm-hmm. Didn't get an Oscar. Jim Parsons, they can't give that Fruit Loop enough.
That was one of the complaints. Is Jim Parsons, and then the Modern Family, which, you know, people are like, well, the Modern Family's not what it used to be, and yet all those Modern Family, they win all the awards still. It's like they can't seem to, like, move on, or they can't.
Well, didn't, like, Kelsey Grammer win a bucket of Emmy?
Like for Frasier.
They'll pick a guy, yeah. House.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer. I think Tony Shalhoub, which is, yeah, John Tenney's nemesis. He won a bunch. You know, Tony Shalhoub won a bunch.
They just keep giving the same guys awards.
Yeah, enough, man.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that this year. I kind of felt like.
Okay, you knew Bryan Cranston was going to win.
You knew it, yeah, because that was the
biggest. There wasn't going to be any more Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And he deserved it. He was phenomenal.
Okay, yeah.
If you saw Breaking Bad.
That's the thing. None of these nominees are, like, bad. I'm not like,
no, but they just give them to the same people.
And I just felt like, and even with the presenters, it was like, you know, everybody is Amy Poehler's best buddy. Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, they're all there.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. That group of SNL alums.
Yeah, Tina Fey.
That particular.
Poehler, Meyers.
Because every SNL group is kind of grouped together.
Yeah.
You know, the Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, sure, Phil Hartman era,
yeah,
Mike Myers, they're all grouped together. Those particular, that group really reminds me of like a cliquey improv.
I know what you mean? Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If you go to Chicago or you go to any, and I've gone to Chicago and hung out in improv places, improv, right, Olympic, and you just feel like, you're not part of this clique.
Yeah, well, that's what it felt like a little bit. Yeah.
It was like my high school drama club.
Yeah, it
has this feel of like.
But it also feels like they also always do the same shtick, and so you're kind of sick of it.
Right.
Like you just kind of go like, oh.
The original SNL turned on each other. Not ready for prime time players.
Right. No solidarity there.
No, they loved each other, yeah, and Aykroyd and Belushi were best friends and stuff. But like, you'd never hear like Bill Hader got into a fist fight with Will Forte.
Right, yeah.
It just never happened. They're just such butt buddies, and they're so up each other's asses.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler loved everybody. It's boring.
It does get boring after a while, and it sort of seems like,
which,
you know,
I don't even. It's not even. I liked. I was a big fan of Parks and Recreation for about four seasons.
Right.
Now it's kind of outlived its.
Well, but you also kind of feel like. Well, I think it's their last season coming up, but then you sort of get the feeling like no one can say no to anything either. Like, they'll go up and do that same like, you kind of go, like, at some point, wouldn't you go, like, I've kind of did the Emmys, and I did the Golden Globes, and I did that shtick on it, and maybe that's enough.
Well,
but I guess there's just no saying no to that.
Now, Bryan Cranston was going to get the Emmy. We knew that.
Yeah.
But that means they should have come up with another category for Matthew McConaughey and best duo or whatever.
Well, yeah.
For Woody Harrelson. They came out and did a shtick, and they were funny.
Yeah.
But that show was great, like phenomenal.
Didn't see it.
It was a miniseries. Yeah. It's only like seven episodes or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
Was fucking next level stuff, and those guys didn't get an Emmy.
Well, it's hard to argue the merits of awards, but to me, as a show, it felt like I've seen this show before.
Right.
There was nothing new here. It was the cast of Modern Family getting awards. It was Amy Poehler doing her shtick with everybody, was her best friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was bored with it. So, and thumbs down.
Seth Meyers.
And Seth Meyers was fine. And again, Seth Meyers is fine on his show, but.
My friend Scott has a line he says about, like, our generation, our clothes are too clean and our hands are too soft because our lives have been entirely too easy. You know, like, you ever shake, like, your grandfather's hand and it felt like, you know. You know what I'm saying?
He was in Korea or something.
Yeah. He was on a frigate in you know, the Pacific.
Well, I had,
dodging Japanese submarines.
My one grandfather was a coal miner in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And the other guy was a farmer in Italy.
From Italy, right.
Yeah, so it was
spent all day in the fields pulling
my
grapes.
My grandkids, should I ever have them, are going to say my grandfather was a podcaster. He sat in his room and talked about Gilbert Gottfried.
Right. Right. And he talked to old comics.
Yeah.
Who told you get out of the business because you're too old to do comedy.
God, so that
Ken's 60 and he's telling us that we're too old at 40.
Well, you know what Ken is? Ken has all the perspective.
They will give you an embryo, a new show on Comedy Central.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. There's no.
How bad does that John Mulaney show look?
It doesn't look good, and I don't know. You know,
it looks horrific.
Well, it looks like Seinfeld, though. Isn't that the kind of the knock on it? Is that it's just Seinfeld? And who was he a writer for? Was he Seinfeld's writer?
I don't know.
I
look at that guy and I go, you're entirely too cute for me. You know what I mean? You're just not like, Okay, I look at Eddie Pepitone. I say, let me hear what you have to say.
Right. I know what you mean.
Colin Quinn. I go, I'm in. I'm interested.
Right.
I look at that fucking John Mulaney, and it's all too easy.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
I'm a handsome Boston fucking prep school douche.
Yeah.
And comedy's just a lark for me, and it's all, I'm having the greatest life ever.
Yeah.
And you know what? Why do we want that? I understand why we want that in actors. We want our actors to be the prom queen and the you know, the homecoming king. I don't need the fucking comics to start
being that. But that's why this generation that we just talked with Ken about, those guys had drug problems, and there was, you know, Richard Pryor had violent, you know, was getting arrested every minute. And, you know, there were guys who that gave them some sort of credibility.
You talk about the style.
Yeah.
Those guys were all kind of either oddballs or wise Alex. You know what I mean? Like that whole Letterman clan of George Miller.
They were
observational kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know what Seth Meyers comedy is about.
Yeah. It's hard to say. He is the guy that sort of, he reads the fake news. That's kind of what Seth Meyers does. And again, you know, and then that talk show, I don't have a problem with the Seth Meyers talk show, but There's 1,000 guys that could do that show every bit as good as
that. Only interesting.
It's not like it's a terrible show, but it's...
It's only interesting in that it's better than Fallon.
Well, then that's the problem.
Because Fallon sits there and plays beer pong.
That is the problem with Fallon. That's what I talked about with... When I talked about that with Gilbert, I said, how long till show business turns on Jimmy Fallon? I'm standing by my premise that if we're sitting here in 5 years, let's hope we're not, that I believe that show business will have turned on Jimmy Fallon. It doesn't mean that he'll be off the air, but I think the guy's a no talent. And I don't know, he's
a cheerleader.
Yeah.
I just read this book called Top of the Morning about the morning shows.
Yeah.
About the fight between Today and GMA.
Right.
And the Ann Curry firing.
And that struggle continues every day.
Right.
Yeah.
But GMA, just they were like, GMA started to just go, let's tune up the cheery giggle bubble and have more cat videos.
Yeah.
And then they put poor Jared Stephanopoulos in there to be like, you have the gravity.
Yeah.
So that he'd do one or two serious interviews a show and the rest of the show could just get sillier and stupider.
Yeah, they just...
And Jimmy Fallon to me is the no meat.
Yeah,
he'll never do a good interview. Like, Carson is let's be honest, a hack in a lot of ways.
Okay.
He was so great and effortless at hosting, and his talent was in... presenting and seeming cool.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon's not cool. But Carson, all those bits on Gilbert's show,
Gilbert,
they talk about how Aunt Blabby and Karnak and all that shit. Steve Allen was an innovator. Steve Allen invented all the stuff.
Sure.
And then Jack Parr was just kind of really serious and intense and brilliant.
Yeah.
And then Johnny was like, I'm going to keep it at this tempo.
But Johnny knew, here's where Johnny and Fallon differ, though.
Right.
Johnny knew when he was doing Aunt Blabby and all that stuff that it was lame and it was bad.
And he made a joke about
How bad it was. Jimmy does this stuff where he genuinely thinks it's funny when he's playing a teenage girl.
No, he's kind of
Swift.
He kind of titters and giggles.
Yeah, but he also knows. He knows that people love it, and he cares about it in a way that Johnny didn't. And the other thing is that, you know, Johnny allowed one thing that Johnny was always great at was when you were paneling with Johnny. Is he allowed the comedian to get the laughs. He would stand back and set you up. Whereas these guys now, they don't even know what to say.
Well,
and
Johnny was a great interviewer.
Yeah, he was. That's what I mean by that.
And that was his one gift. His monologue and all that other shit you can kind of look at and go, that's kind of cheesy.
Right.
But his interviewing ability was, you're right, he brought the best out of the guest.
Yeah, he sort of...
Does Fallon do that?
Fallon goes, hey, pal.
Oh, remember that time you were funny?
All right, and I sort of feel like that's when I complained about Last Comic Standing about how it doesn't create comedy stars. It doesn't present them as stars. You come on Jimmy Fallon's show, and if you're not his buddy, if you're not somebody that hangs out with him, he sort of presents you with sort of this minor weird thing, and he sort of laughs at you, and he doesn't
Do you think Rodman is to have any success?
Yeah, you know what? We didn't even talk about the end. By the way, we'll be talking about Last Comic Standing extensively during our Assholes of the Year show. I can assure you of that.
Well, okay. I know you don't watch it.
I know Rodman won. I know Rodman, I think, and probably we even talked about it on the show, when they initially did the first show, I said that Rodman guy was completely awful. I said that from week one when he came out. He won the whole thing. I barely watched it after the first, after the original sort of cut down was done. But, the guy
I stopped watching.
Again,
I, they, They sent Jimmy Schubert home.
Yeah.
The guy with 25 years of experience who's going to, if you put him up on the castle tonight against five other guys from that show, he'll murder them.
Right. Well, I
just... they're not looking for comedians.
But I went and just kind of went like, oh, Rodman won and okay, but his career is going to be what?
I don't know.
You don't know. I mean, that's the thing.
This is, I know you don't watch this, but it is similar in that there's the next Food Network star. Okay? This is a regular show. No, I'm saying
I get that
it's that
Food Network has stars and they try to create one.
But they try to create one.
Yeah.
The only one that ever took off was Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
And they keep doing the show. And even if you watch the Food Network all the time, some of those names you're gonna like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because they're making a TV show. They're not doing
They're not actually doing the talent scouting
to find a guy who's
gonna be successful. And I don't know that Johnny's deal was that Johnny wanted. I mean, I know Johnny's credited like Johnny wanted to find the next great comic. I don't know if Johnny wanted to find the next great comic or if he had a deference to performers that maybe isn't there now. And maybe it's like Ken was saying, there was so few guys that Johnny. Whereas now there's 5,000 guys who could be on a Jimmy Kimmel Tonight in L.A., and you could just throw one of them up, and it wouldn't get any reaction. Maybe because there were so few late-night shows, and there was... But Johnny sort of seemed to have...
He did seem to like the comics.
He seemed to like them, and he seemed to sort of go... You know, he seemed to be a fan, whether he was or not.
He could be a lot harder on the comics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all hear
success... He wouldn't put Ken on and in his team.
We all hear the success stories, but we don't hear the guys who went on and bombed.
Right, and they did.
Or guys would be successful
and
once
did.
And then come back and they didn't have enough material.
You know what you also don't hear about now? The guy who went on Fallon and killed it, or the guy who went on Ferguson and killed it, because nobody cares. No one sees it.
It's true. Now the show's about other podcasts I listen to.
Yeah, well, that's
But true. I listened to a Gabriel Iglesias interview on WTF.
Okay.
And because that's a guy I don't really have any interest in as a performer.
Well, he was on Last Comic Standing. He got thrown off for using a cell phone in the house where he was supposed to have complete contact, no contact with the outside world. He smuggled in a phone and they threw him off.
Well, anyway, okay, that's not a guy I look at his act and go, it's too cutesy for me.
Yeah, right.
But he was an interesting...
What was your review of the Fluffy movie as a professional critic?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. He's an interesting interviewer, or he's an interesting interview. He seemed like a decent guy. Anyway, what he did, he said he was on a show on Galavision called Los Locos.
Uh-huh.
And that was only popular because the network didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
And they showed that show over and over and over again.
It was their Comic View. It was their filler.
So I think exposure helps guys.
Oh, yeah. Exposure helps guys. And having 100 channels.
One four-minute spot on Fallon ain't going to help you.
Yeah.
It's that Los Locos was in rotation.
Yeah.
And, he played three times a day.
And there's guys who get famous on Comedy Central because, they play that half hour all the time, or they play whatever, when Tough Crowd was
on. Jim Gaffigan.
When you would get on. And Gaffigan became a star on Comedy Central.
Gaffigan's half hour special.
I think Dane Cook became a star on Comedy Central, largely.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys now are star on Comedy Central. But speaking of late night shows, since we're on that, the final Chelsea Lately aired last night. And it's funny because you and I were talking and you're like, you have to turn on the last Chelsea Lately because she's naked in the shower with Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
So believe it or not, that was enough to get me to turn on the television.
Ellen was completely clothed.
Ellen was dressed like a waiter or a valet driver.
She looked like a rabbi. She had a black
Ellen
suit
has,
on.
Ellen has all of the clothes on. And
which... Let's be honest,
that's
I'm fine with.
Exactly.
If Portia de Rossi came in that chair, I'd say, okay.
And Chelsea had the minimal of blurring out of her tits.
Chelsea had exactly 3 pixels
for each nipple.
Blotted out. So you could see underboob.
Yeah, you could
they
see
just
the
really,
whole,
literally just.
Like the areola was gone, and
they
that
just
was about
bleeped
it.
Out the nipple, and you then could determine that she has small nipples.
Okay.
Because you didn't have the big areola area
you
or
would
anything
need a
like
lot more.
Right.
And she was bottomless as well.
Right. And she's done that bit a couple times.
Okay.
Conan was in there naked.
Okay.
And then Sandra Bullock, she had 12 pixels. That covered up her entire much smaller breasts.
Oh, so Bullock was naked too?
Yes, Bullock was naked, but look at how many pixels she got.
I should have watched that Chelsea Lately. No, I don't.
Well, no, that was in another episode.
Well, anyway, that's what I mean. I watched this whole last Chelsea Lately, and let me tell you something. For me, it was as forgettable as the whole 7-year run of that show. And I know she had tons. And Corey, we were on the phone, and she was trotting out all the comics that appeared over the years, and it must have been like 50 comics.
Sure.
And like I knew three guys, and I'm in the comedy business professionally, and I knew Brody Stevens.
I knew a couple guys who we've worked with.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Brody Stevens, a guy I actually know, mm-hmm. and I know John Caparillo personally. And there's a couple
was
people.
Was Mo
like,
Mandel on there?
I don't know if he was. Was
he's
he?
A and, panelist for her.
And you know Natasha Leggero, you know, from being in movies and stuff. So there was a few people you knew.
T.J. Miller.
But I just kind of went like, oh, this show, boy, it never caught on with me. And I know. And here's the thing with Chelsea. And you know, to her credit, she has this following. It's for chicks. Not unlike Orange. People wondering at the Emmys why Orange is the New Black didn't win anything. And that's because men fucking voted for the Emmys. No guy likes that show. I'm sorry.
I have to say that.
It is for women.
I have to say, it's yeah. not just for women.
Yeah.
It is unwatchable if you have a penis. Like, okay, I don't expect chicks to be like, oh shit, this Sean Connery James Bond movie's on again.
Right,
can I watch
this?
Yeah. That's men's entertainment.
Sure.
Orange is the New Black, it literally makes my body shut down.
Yeah.
Like, if it comes on, I just go, I can see that it's a quality show. Yeah. I can see that it's well made.
Sure.
There's plenty of shows that are for Weeds was kind of for chicks.
Yeah.
But right. I could watch it and it had appeal to both sexes.
Sure, yeah.
Orange is the New Black, when lesbians start talking about their feelings, I am fucking out.
No, I'm with you. I watched, like I said, I watched the first episode. It was 90 minutes or whatever.
And God
and
bless
I, and
you.
And I praised the nudity in that, and I praised...
Oh, there's
you know,
nudity in there, sure.
You know, we saw What's-Her-Name's Tits from that 70s right. show.
This is why God made Mr.
Laura
Skin.
Prepon's Tits. Yeah,
I can watch the best parts of that
right.
show without having to watch the drama. Because, okay, I guess I'm not afraid of anybody in a women's prison. You know what I'm saying? The toughest bitch in there, I'm one punch from knocking out. Right?
Leah DeLoria. That way, but
Leah DeLoria is the big menace in there.
I
you watched Oz, you were terrified. You know what I'm saying? You were like, this fucking guy can
okay,
destroy you.
All right.
You watch Orange is the New Black and the girls are all scared and I'm going, I'll knock this bitch right in her ass.
I know. It's
so it's, you're not afraid of women. And,
no, and, but again, I feel just getting back to Chelsea, I feel like Chelsea was like it was a talk show for girls. It was girls talking about girl stuff. It was all talking about the Real Housewives and
right.
Love and Hip Hop and all these
she
people.
She said she left because she
was
tired of doing that.
What do you think she's going to do on Netflix?
I probably
the same garbage,
thing.
Yeah. So,
but
you know,
she was like, what, she's going to talk to, you know what, she's going to talk to... She's going to have Benjamin Netanyahu on there, and they're going to really talk about the crisis.
So, you know, I mean, you know, farewell to Chelsea.
Cornel West. We'll discuss
you know
race relations.
And it's funny because you didn't even hear. I wouldn't have known for the life of me that it was the last show and that she would have called. Or I would have called you, whatever
knew.
It was. Yeah.
Amy was watching Fashion Police.
Your wife was watching.
And then Fashion Police was like, coming up the last Chelsea lately.
God, I guess I need a wife to tell me what girl show we're on.
Right,
but,
right.
I have roommates
well, see,
that
fashion,
watch girl shows.
Now, they're
shows,
speaking
but,
of another girl show.
Yeah, that's another
But one. Fashion Police I can watch a couple minutes of just because Joan's writers are...
Right, Joan Rivers is pretty
funny.
Funny. I don't
enough.
Really get the whole fashion thing. And, you know, and Chelsea did a thing where she did a We Are the World parody for the end. And she had some legitimately big stars on that show
yes.
and stuff, but it's still like...
50 Cent
it's
came
still,
on.
Well, he used a banger, I guess. And he did a rap, which yeah. must have... Half the audience must have turned it off during his fucking
It was
bit.
Horrible.
And then it was like 50 guys on stage shouting. It was no
okay,
good at all.
We watched, speaking of the Emmys, we watched a little bit of the VMAs.
Oh, geez. See, now that I
okay.
saw. I saw maybe 20, 30 minutes of the VMAs.
Okay.
Talk about unwatchable
okay.
garbage.
Speaking of having a wife, I watched the whole Miley Cyrus concert.
Well, that was, we talked about
that
already.
When they did the
already.
Miley
yeah, it was
Cyrus
on NBC.
Bangers.
We talked about this.
She was captivated.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, a woman who is a practicing attorney. She sat there and watched Bangers.
Well, apparently the FCC is angry now about that. They had complaints about that show.
Oh, yeah.
So they're being, they might be fined for the Miley Cyrus
oh, yeah. what else?
Tour. Although it was considered one of the, like, the biggest bombs in this television season because nobody watched it, the Miley. So as much as Miley was on the talk of the world for the last
right.
year, since last year's VMAs when she was twerking with a foam finger,
well,
it was not good.
Here's the
what
thing,
did you see on the VMAs?
Here's the thing
tell
about Miley.
What?
We've all seen your skinny little ass.
Exactly.
We don't. There's nothing. To,
there's not much.
It's exciting the first
there's
time.
There's nowhere to go.
The
yeah.
first time Miley comes out there and goes, here's a thong, look at my cooch.
Yeah.
And then now we're done. We're over
there's
it.
There's nowhere to go. Yeah.
She's going to have to blow guys.
Okay.
On TV.
She'd like to come to Joel Radio and start doing that?
Yeah,
she's welcome.
Yeah, sure, sure. She can blow me when I'm depressed. Look. her and Kat
Dennings. Just said into a deeper depression. Just, oh, Miley. Corey, my. Miley gives toothy head.
She's giving it me. She's giving it. Giggity.
Tell me about the VMAs.
I still see a hillbilly when I look at her.
Exactly. Tell me about the VMAs.
Oh, so the VMAs. Well, I watched a little bit of the VMAs. And it was like, talk about no content.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Beyonce comes out. And she did 20 minutes. They must have given Beyonce 20 minutes.
She did what?
She did
like a medley of hits.
She did
or
a medley
something.
Of hits.
Oh, great.
I couldn't tell you what a song was.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Okay,
yeah.
She has that Single Ladies. That's got a beat and it's catchy.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she just did, all her songs are just her, it's like orchestral background.
And then she did a woo 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 woo.
Yeah, and then there's like a little bit of a there's like an orchestral background, a little bit of a drum beat. And then her just be like, I am larger than life. It's just her caterwauling.
There's no
structure.
Yeah.
There's no verse, chorus.
Right.
There's no rhythm at all.
Well, when you're doing a medley, too, you're chopping them up.
I didn't know which song was which.
Yeah,
or what
I don't
was
know
what.
Either.
There's
yeah.
no fucking choruses in these things. Yeah. It was all just like, it was like Kate Bush. Yeah. It was just fucking, it was horrifically bad. And I went, why is this? It's all spectacle. They're all looking at their fucking silver gowns and all these lights and the flash pots going off.
Yeah.
And there was no content in her material at all. Like Whitney Houston, who I fucking hated, at least would come out and sing a song that had notes. And then she'd go do her trilling thing where she went, at least there was, she got to a point.
What I saw the VMAs now is it's like one, somebody comes out and then they're the singer, but then there's like three rappers who will come out behind them and it's all like guest acts. Guest acts.
Has T-Pain ever made a record? Or
I don't even
just
know. No, they're just guests. Right. And it's like, Nicki Minaj has a song.
She came on after Beyonce. And at least the spectacle of her ridiculous ass.
Right.
Her absurd
But she was on because I think it was Ariana Grande's song that Nicki Minaj was a guest on, which some other woman is a guest on, and Iggy Azalea is a guest on on
they're
Ariana Grande's
you
song.
You know what? They're like and then, the Amy Poehler SNL
Yeah, they sort
cast.
Of are, yeah. They
they're
all
an inside little
inside
clique.
And they all
and
do.
They all are little buddy buddies. Hip Hop's had a lot of that.
Yeah, over the years.
Hip Hop's generally had, like...
They've had that.
Turn on a De La Soul album and, like, everybody guest stars on
and
that.
And it's fine. And then that's what they do. But it feels like now it's portrayed to, you know, like, teenage girls are just guesting on everybody's stuff. And you're like... Well, what is Ariana Grande even doing in the song?
I don't know.
Iggy Azalea is doing the rapping, and then somebody, and it's just like, you don't even know, like, you don't even know where to, like, if you wanted to buy that music, like, let's say you watch the VMAs, would you even know what Beyonce to buy to get the Beyonce?
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
No.
It's completely worthless as a promotional tool.
There's no record stores.
Right, well, exactly, but you would go.
So you can't even go to the, this is, okay.
But you'd go on iTunes and you'd go.
Dear everybody,
give me this Beyonce song. And you wouldn't even know what Beyonce song to get. Mm-hmm. And even if you did, it wouldn't even sound like the one that you heard on the VMAs.
Are you familiar with the concept of customer acquisition cost?
Yeah, I am.
This is a business principle.
Okay.
In the old days, the records industry had a customer acquisition cost. They would put stuff on TV, and then kids would go to the store, and they go, oh, what was that record I heard? Or,
well, you hear it on the radio.
Okay, now it's Shazam.
Shazam. Oh, you mean like
that's your fucking
app.
Phone
okay,
app.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not the same. The record stores used to do work for the industry.
Well, you could say it was nowadays it would be YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is the VMAs, the way they present this music, it's not even the way that you're buying the music ultimately. So it's not even a good tool to market the music anymore because they're not doing the songs the way you hear them. Although there was one like boy band who was like. They were in. I gotta look up the name of this. They were like five teenage boys who were like influenced by the punk rock of the 90s, and they played some of the worst music I think I've ever heard in my entire life. It was the worst, most emo faggot rock I've ever heard. And they were kind of dressed like Green Day in the 90s, and so I got what they were going for. But the music was just terrible. All music now is That's the chorus of every rock
play,
song. Now.
We should play a game where, like, much like our famous
NHL
star or Serbian war criminal.
Yes. NHL star or convicted war criminal.
Okay, Ed Sheeran. Is he...
what is he?
What does he do?
He's a singer, I know. He's the redheaded guy. Right.
He's English. Or does he play for the Boston Red Sox?
All right. Anything else on VMAs? I mean, it was terrible.
Best rock video went to Royal for Lord.
Lord, which, God, that's not a rock song. You've heard. Do you want to hear some Royals? I mean, it's not a rock song at all. I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's a song.
Best female biddy, Katy Perry, featuring Juicy J.
Of course.
Who the fuck is Juicy J?
Let's see what I gotta actually type this in correctly. Here's Royals. Here's some Lord. This is best rock. A diamond in the flesh. Now, there's no guitar on this. It doesn't sound like. I mean, to me, this is hip hop because it's just all rhythm. It's a drum beat. I mean, I know she's not really quite rapping. She's singing. No postcode. Well, you know, this song is the anti. This is exactly what we were talking about. It's anti Beyonce.
It's a little stripped down, but
I just don't feel that this is rock.
Ariana Grande featuring Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, I've got that song. You want to hear that?
Who are those skanks?
Ariana Grande was on like the Disney Channel, and Iggy Azalea is like some Australian rapper. Here, I'll listen to this. Here, this will ruin you. This will make you turn off our podcast. If our talk about the Comedy Store in 79 wasn't enough to make you not want to listen to Ariana Grande and... Oh, how great is this? Corey's dancing.
Which one's Iggy Azalea?
No, I think this is... Well, that's the thing. I think this is Ariana Grande singing. But then they... tell me when to stop. Now. Well, maybe you should get to the chorus.
Oh, should we get to Iggy Azalea?
Yeah. So I don't know who this is. This is a dude, right? Like, that's not even her.
That's Dustin Diamond.
This is Dustin Diamond? Like, that's a guy. But, like, this track is okay. I kind of get where this is kind of catching. But... Well, get to the good part.
There's a good part?
Yeah, I think it's more of the same.
Oh, this is hideous.
It is. Let me fast. Oh, there's another. Okay, well. All right, so here comes Iggy Azalea's rap. Sure. Iggy is. There's Iggy. What you got? Small money, then I'll be better off without you. And come on, Corey. I'll be forgetting. How can you not like this? That you know, but I really, really doubt you. Understand, my life is easy when I ain't around you. But you have to remember that music is largely consumed by girls between the ages of like 12 and 15 now. So, you know,
I don't want to be like that. You know, the assholes.
Right.
Speaking of like,
I could do this bit. Do you want to do this bit now or do you want to do it later? Because I came up with this and I was going to do.
Well,
I could play you the top 10 songs now and the top 10 from like 35 years ago.
Okay, well, hold on.
Do you want to do that? We'll do that
sometime.
That might
be a whole other show.
I think so. All right, well, let's move on.
Why don't we do? But I just want to say, I don't want to be the guy. Because I know every youth music people come in and go, the old guys go, this stinks.
Yeah, the old stuff.
And you watch like, they'll be like, you know, Sid Caesar would do a parody of like, Little Richard, and
right,
it would be all caterwauling and noise, and the Beatles.
Sure, yeah.
And it'd be like, we were watching Michael Apted's 7-Up.
Yeah.
And there was a kid on there, and was like, I love the haircuts.
Right.
And you're like, you were so wrong, 7-year-old.
The Beatles were completely radical at the time, and some people couldn't get
the
haircuts.
You don't
want to
be an asshole. I don't feel any of this music is going to
endure. No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't feel like it.
What's the one where like the people, when they show those assholes coming out of the Newport convention when Dylan plugged in?
Oh, the Newport.
And they're all
Festival.
Fucking mad.
Yeah, the Dylan went electric,
like,
yeah.
That was crap. And you go, no. That was like the best shit ever. Right?
Yeah.
I don't feel I'm going to be like in 20 years going, remember when I was an old man and I took a dump on Iggy Azalea?
Well, that's in that movie in the, what was the Scorsese thing? Don't Look. That wasn't Don't Look Back. That was the old Dylan movie. What was the
No Way Home?
Yeah, No Direction Home.
Yeah.
And they show in the he decides he's touring, but he brings his rock. It's sort of at the, coming off the heels of the Newport thing.
Sure.
He brings a band with him. Mm-hmm. He brings what at the time was the Hawks,
Jayhawks, or the Hawks, or whatever.
which is the band. Right. They replaced Mickey Jones, the drummer, with Levon Helm later. But he brings the band with him. Right. And everyone goes, I don't know about these guys. I think they suck. And go, Bob Dylan and the band's first tour is one of the high water marks of popular music
in the century.
And you see these people going right. nuts about, oh, God, this is terrible.
Well, they're finally releasing the unabridged, complete... good quality basement tapes.
Oh, of course. Well, they've been doing that for years.
But see, that's the thing, though. There's always something like that's why George Lucas does this bullshit with yeah. the special editions because he's going to have to do. He did those what in the 90s? He's going to have to do a special edition of the special edition.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what he did with the Blu-rays
because they'll
he
be
kept
like,
editing,
we cleaned
though.
Up this the
they
effects
keep
even
editing
more.
Them. Well,
and now these fucking basement tapes. I've been sitting around since 1967.
Well, Dylan's been releasing these basement tape box sets for years now, and they go through right. the various eras. I don't know if they're right now into right. like 67 right. or wherever they are with these.
This is
but,
supposed to be all of the stuff that right. guys have been bootlegging and even stuff that isn't bootlegged.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that Dylan obsessed.
Well, eventually that does happen with everything. Is eventually everything, whether it be movies, television, they eventually clean out the vault because they're so desperate for money. They eventually clean out the vault. You know, there's like nothing. There's no like unreleased Nirvana recordings anymore. They've mm-hmm. all come out. There's nothing left from that.
Right.
There's nothing left
from the banks of the Muddy Wishka.
Well, that was a live record, but you right. know they've every good and Nirvana live concerts. Every single one has come out.
Right.
You know, every single one that was like professionally filmed has now come out. Everything that was professionally recorded has now come out. When you look at like the Beatles now.
There couldn't possibly be any more Beatles.
Well,
stuff.
Did you know that the Beatles, and Dylan's in this boat too, is because the copyrights are expiring on a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the Beatles had to release the outtakes from Abbey Road, which I've had on bootlegs for years. They had to officially release those or else they would lose the rights to those recordings. So they had to officially release those. Now, they only released them through iTunes. You can't, like, go into a store and buy. But if you want to hear the outtakes of that first of Please Please Me,
yeah,
they're all out there now on iTunes, available for purchase. You have to buy it as, like, a set. All of the Beatles outtakes are
the
on
shit
there.
That companies will do.
Yeah.
To do to keep copyrights alive.
Yeah.
Comic books happens all the time.
What do they have to do there? Just repress them?
There'll
or?
Be characters that will just pop up every 6 years just because
yeah.
it's not that they're popular.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we haven't done a Green Arrow in a while. Or well, that's he's
they're
got a
abandoning
show now, but
they're abandoning the
there's
copyright.
Marvel has a character called Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Which they came up with because the original Captain Marvel from the 30s
yeah.
was out of print for a while.
Right.
And they came up with their own Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And now periodically every now and then they'll do a Captain Marvel series just to maintain the license.
Yeah, it's
so
it's,
DC can't use it.
Yeah, so
it's shit like that.
To get into that, and so you know all that stuff from for that is now 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
which is the stuff that came out in the early 60s. You're starting to see out again, and again, you know the Beatles. They don't want to let you know that they're releasing these Abbey Road outtakes. And granted, if you try to sit down and listen to those all the way through,
right.
you got to be pretty patient because there'll be you know. 12 takes in a row of, you know, one after 909, and you don't really want, you know, it doesn't make for good listening necessarily, but it is fascinating stuff, and it is, you know, and they do want to own that stuff, so well, it's not, it doesn't end up, you know, being
I'm actually,
sold everywhere.
I'm actually excited about the Paul McCartney remasters where they're putting out a couple Wings albums.
Well, that's the thing. They keep going back to the well on those things.
And those have been out for 35 years, and you could get those at any point.
And I think at least some of those have been remastered in the past with extra
right,
stuff. I know Band
right,
on the Run was.
Right.
And, you know, there's a new version of All Things Must Pass by George Harrison coming out this fall.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's already been multiple
that's been
releases.
Remastered how many
and that's
times?
Been re-released and remastered a million times.
I mean, I'll go get those Wings albums because I'm a dick.
There's a new John Lennon Best Of solo
uh-huh.
coming out this fall. There's a new
that's another guy, The Lost Weekend,
best of,
all that stuff, yeah, all the so Lost Weekend tapes. And what's the one he did with Harry Nilsson?
Well, Pussycats was the Harry Nilsson record. And
well, that's a mess.
He produced, yeah, it's terrible. But all right, let's move on. More TV, or do you want to do, well, let me talk about Into the Storm. I probably talked about this right in the past. I had shot an extra bit in Into the Storm, and granted, that movie, I don't know.
When
what
did you do this?
Like
remember.
2 years ago. They shot this fucking movie 2 years
yeah.
ago. In fact, pull up the IMDb. It's easier for you because you're there. So pull up IMDb Into the Storm because I want to talk about it. I know it's Matt Walsh, I think, is the star of that, who's on Veep now. And
mm-hmm.
at the time was sort of just a kind of a character actor. And I know he was a big improv guy.
Yes.
Is it Matt Walsh? Did I get the name right?
It was Matt Besser.
No, the guy who's the lead. He was in The Hangover. Am I completely fucking up his name? Matt Into the Storm. You have it?
Yeah, Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh, yeah. So Matt Walsh was, you know, the star of this movie, and I, you know, went there. And, of course, Richard Armitage, who was the, he's the lead, he's the, what do they call him in that movie? Not the trolls, but the, what are the little, he's the leader of the dwarves. Yeah, he's the leader of the dwarves in the Hobbit series. So he's one of the lead stars. It's an ensemble cast, and I saw all these guys, you know, 2 years ago.
Thorin Oakenshield.
Yeah, see, he became a big star, you know, since The Hobbit, but when they shot this movie 2 years ago, so I shot this little tiny thing where I was a construction worker, and I didn't know if I'd be, you know, in the movie or not, and sure enough, 20 minutes in, as they're doing what...
Oh, really?
Yeah, 20 minutes in as they're doing this thing about... what it is that this movie has a weird structure where... It's sort of like half found footage. It's not really found footage, but like there's these tornado chasers, and Matt Walsh is the lead guy, and they always have cameras running to chase tornadoes. So some of the movie you'll see from like a traditional movie perspective, and then they'll go into the cameraman's camera. So the movie sort of has this weird structure of sometimes it's found footage, sometimes it's fly on the walls. You know, it sort of goes back and forth. Which,
well,
which is sort of...
John Reap is in this.
John Reap plays one of the hillbilly guys who chases a storm. He's sort of the comic relief. But they shot this thing where it takes place at the day of a high, the last day of high school. And they're going to do this high school graduation. So there's guys, there's these high school kids doing their time capsules. And in 25 years, what do you want to be doing? And they cut to one of the guys, and he's working construction. He says, in 25 years, I hope I'm not working construction, shoveling shit like these guys. And there's three guys behind him shoveling in the mud, and I am the guy right in the middle shoveling mud. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the applause.
You're the end of a punchline. There you go. You're shoveling shit.
You can see me now and Into the Storm.
Speaking of shoveling shit, how bad is this movie?
Well, let me tell you something. Richard Armitage apparently was on a show called, was it MI5 or MI6? I never saw it.
It was MI5.
It was MI5, a BBC show considered like their 24 or their big spy espionage show. Kind of has a Hugh Jackman cut about him, you know, kind of has that kind of brawny, broad-shouldered, rugged, handsome guy. He does an American, he plays the vice principal of this school.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing an American accent. It's hands down the worst acting performance I've seen of the year. It is sci-fi. It is Ian Ziering sci-fi movie quality acting that Richard Armitage does in this. He's so awful, Corey. You've never heard a worse American accent. I think his American accent, he just goes deep. He just goes deep like this. And this way he can sound American. God. And it's so awful.
It looks
and the
so
dialogue is dying. And there's some decent, like, what is it, Sarah Wayne Callies from Walking Dead, the wife from Walking Dead, Rick's wife. She's in it. She's one of the leads. And then there's, like, kids who, you know, because this director, I guess, made, like, one of the Final Destination movies. And that's what the teenagers are kind of like. They're just real handsome. And there's,
it sounds dreadful.
And there's a girl that's, you know, trapped in this building that collapses. And literally the camera is on, like, she's wearing, like a tank top. And literally every breath she takes, more boob comes out of the top. And the camera is just like right on the thing. And we had to sit in the front row at this fucking movie theater. Because, you know, they think these movie theaters now, there's this one and they have the reclining seats, right?
Yeah.
Where you actually get like a leather Barca lounger that goes all the way back and there's a footrest. So now there's like three rows of seats in these theaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, used to, you probably could have had 100 seats in this thing instead. And they've got 25 Barca loungers. Yeah, I don't know. It was $12 or something or whatever it was. And so we had to sit in the front row because there's almost no seats in this. Even though this movie's been out for 3 weeks and made almost no money for some reason, last night the only two seats available were in the front. So we're in the front row, and not only was I 8 feet high and I was 3 feet from the screen, this girl's tits heaving in and out, who's like supposed to be like a high school junior. So I think that's even wrong to even show high school junior.
Epic experience?
No, this was just like the Star Theater's just regular. I mean, it wasn't even the screen was that big. It was just tall as fuck, and you were sitting 2 feet from it, so it was ridiculous. And so, literally, they just shoot this girl's tits heaving in and out as she's getting the waters
well,
rushing in.
You haven't dissuaded me now. This
no, it's actually the tornado stuff is the best tornado stuff that's ever been in a movie in terms of the effects. It's fantastic. One of the last shots. Was where, you know, Matt Walsh gets sucked up in a tornado, and they did some really cool effects in that, and that was neat. But it's one of the worst acted movies I've ever seen. I'm every bit
spoilers.
I'm every bit as good.
Matt Walsh gets sucked up in the tornado.
I'm wearing a hard hat, like a yellow, one of those neon yellow work vests, and I'm shoveling, and I'm every bit as good as Richard Armitage in this movie. It's so bad. I would give it probably only two fingers on the Corey and Joel five-finger scale, but I'm in it, so add a finger. Let's give it 3 out of 5 and say... While I do think this is pretty intense to watch the theater because, you know, the seats were shaking from the bass and all that stuff. But for most of you, if you want to see me on the big screen, just rent this and you'll see me.
Well, all right, then. I'll have to look at your scene.
Into the Storm, yes. Into the Storm.
I can't imagine seeing that whole film. Well, I've kind of not seen anything for a couple weeks. Well, and
I'm
feel great about it.
I'm in something called Parts Per Billion, which was so bad. And if you read the reviews, because that only came out as like streaming video or on demand. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. There might even be. I don't even know if there's a Blu-ray for that. I should be in that because I had a scene with Hill Harper from CSI New York. And that's out now. But I haven't even seen that thing. And that's gotten the worst review. So I've been like kind of like afraid to even. Maybe I'll wait for that to come on cable or something. So I haven't seen that one yet. But I was running. It was the end of the world. And I'm running into a liquor store, I'm running out of a liquor store. Forget it. I'm running in, and I'm running out, and Hill Harper is running in. Anyway, so I'm in that, too. So not my best performances, I know, but hey, I'm out. I'm up there. I'm up there on the big screen.
Well, all right. Good for you.
I'm up on the silver screen, shoveling mud.
We can clearly see you. It's not like...
You can clearly see me, and I'm in and I was worried that I wasn't going to be in focus because I was pretty far away from the guy who was talking when we shot it. But because of the lens, it brought me right up there. So that's pretty good. I got a little FaceTime in that. So, have you seen Wizard Wars? You know what that is?
No.
Wizard Wars is kind of the Top Chef of magic.
Okay.
You in yet? Are you intrigued yet?
God, am I not?
Top Chef, I don't even know Top Chef, but that's where you compete against expert chefs.
They give you weird
items. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what it is here. They give you weird items, and they want you to make a magic trick out of it. And there's teams of magicians. They team up two magicians, and they go, and they have this closet full of magical gimmicks. And then they say, like, we're going to give you a puppy and some dog biscuits and some milk crates. Make a trick out of this. And then you see two teams, and they compete. And Penn and Teller are two of the judges, and they compete to see, you know, who's the best. And then the team that wins the first challenge, the amateurs, they go up against the team of wizards, which is like four other magicians, who honestly don't seem to be a whole lot more heavily credentialed than the amateur, or, you know, the contenders.
Right.
But whatever. And it's an interesting show. I like magic. I like seeing that stuff put together. And so I'm going to recommend Wizard Wars. It's on Sci-Fi Tuesdays at 10. By the way, I figured out where people find out about these crappy horror movies that are coming out. Yeah. It's on the Sci-Fi channel. And I only know that now
the ads are on it.
Because I've gone decades of not watching sci-fi, and now I'm watching it because Wizard Wars is on there. And
there's actually some shows that
I'm seeing the ads for all these horrible shows.
There's some shows on sci-fi that are kind of okay. There's Face Off, the one where they do makeup.
That's the one right before Wizard Wars. Wizard Wars is right after Face Off.
Face Off's pretty good.
See, I don't care about that.
It's interesting. I like to see what the costumes they come up with.
Okay.
And then there's Heroes of Cosplay, which is completely ridiculous.
I've seen that show, and I thought that show was trying to be almost like... like, what was the Playboy Bunny reality show, but for nerds, where they get these hot cosplay chicks? And I watched that. That
did
was
they not
lousy.
Do... What was the one that had Curtis Armstrong on it? Nerd... They had a nerd...
Oh, did they?
King of the Nerds or something.
Oh, I don't even know. Oh, that was on TBS, though.
They put them all in a nerd house.
Yeah, and they... Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I cannot wait for this summer to be over.
For television.
Because television and movies, and movies.
And movies.
Yeah. Boyhood came out, which is a great film.
Yeah.
But this has been the crappiest summer.
Let me ask you this about movies. Is there just a point when they don't want to compete against like summer vacations where like after 4th of July? Because you feel like big summer movies. Then you get into August and you go, yeah, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy came out. Planet of the Apes came out just after 4th of July. Those were good movies, but... I mean, it's just garbage.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy went back to number one.
Yeah.
It was number one.
Right, because Ninja Turtles
bumped it down, and then Guardians went back to number one for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they ain't nothing else against it.
There's nothing to see.
And Guardians is good and fun. Yeah. So that's like something to see.
Let's Be Cops you could see, but I told you last time it was no good. Yeah, it's terrible.
And then Ninja Turtles was number one for a week,
yeah.
And then everybody went, well, that was shit.
That was a piece
Whereas
of garbage.
Whereas Guardians got good word of mouth and got
and
back on top.
And is still making
but,
money.
But it's just, they're garbage. They're,
yeah, I need to see August, Guardians. I need to see is, Guardians of the Galaxy.
August is a notorious dumping
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Where they just say, you know what Guardians of the Galaxy is? If you throw away all the comic book stuff, you don't worry about where that comes from.
Yeah.
I said it's like a Roger Corman movie with a budget.
Yeah.
It's just kind of silly sci-fi fun.
But why not release whatever. Why not release an Iron Man in August?
Well,
why not release
because they, I don't know, whatever.
Don't know.
They have some
weird
they
formula,
have,
yeah.
Some kind of metrics that they
or,
evaluate.
Or they try to get it out before people are fatigued by that style of movie or something.
Well, now stuff's coming out in like April.
Right, now, the summer movie starts at like Easter
summer
now.
Summer movies
yeah,
used to start in June.
It's like April to July is summer right. movies, and then August and September are like these death months.
Captain America came out in like the end of April or something.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And so...
I don't get it.
All of these studios have a very specific accounting structure about
yeah.
what time in the quarterly right. year.
And they know better than we do. I'm not saying they don't, but it's still getting... Mm. It's sad.
They don't always know better
than
we do.
I don't know.
Okay, so February is the dumping ground.
Yeah.
January...
Yeah, after the holidays, you get...
January, you get expansion of good movies
yeah,
that are
because
Oscar
you get
nominated.
The Oscar noms.
So January's not bad for a little bit.
Right.
But February, you'll get all of the dumped crap.
Yeah, right.
And then August is a dumping ground as well.
Yeah. You'll get a Final Destination in February.
You know...
You'll get a... What's the one? Paranormal Activity. Right. That's in February.
We went to Paris for our honeymoon.
Yeah.
And most of the people there were tourists.
Okay.
I mean, the French themselves...
Oh, you're saying the French leave France.
The French take the month of August and say yeah. fuck off, and they yeah. go to Spain or
well,
wherever.
Maybe
they go.
That's
right.
Happens in America.
That's
I
kind
guess
of I'll America. Guess. Seems like they're
well,
taking...
people go away for a week, and maybe they do it in late July, early August, more than
it
they
seems
would
like
in.
They're taking August off more and more.
Interesting. All right, so Wizard Wars, I recommend, and Penn and Teller Fool Us, which is a British show that was on, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago on Channel
sure.
4. With Jonathan Ross as the host, is playing on the CW now, Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. I think it's one of the best things Penn and Teller ever did. It's really fascinating. It's people do magic tricks trying to fool Penn and Teller. If they fool them, they get to go to Las Vegas and open for Penn and Teller at the Rio. And you see really, really good magicians. Penn and Teller expose the tricks just enough to let the magicians know if they caught them or not. I know magic pretty well, and I know how most of the stuff is done. But yeah, I'm fooled too. I still don't know how some of the stuff is done. Really, really well done. And you get a Penn and Teller trick every show at the end. They'll do something. So really, really good show if you like magic. Penn and Teller Fool Us. If you like Penn and Teller, I think it's fascinating. Go watch Penn and Teller Fool Us. That's a good show. Again, kind of in a dumping ground, and they took this four-year-old show, and apparently, if it's popular enough, they'll make a new season based in America.
I would
say
the problem with the magic shows.
Yeah.
Okay, the cooking shows, I know you don't watch them, but people
right.
watch the cooking shows and go, even if they don't know how to do the shit,
yeah.
they'll look at it and go, oh,
right.
maybe I could figure out how to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
A lot of people learn watching cooking
right.
shows.
Yeah.
No one's going to learn watching a magic show.
Not really. I mean, although, like I said, if you are a magician, which most people aren't.
Right. The number of people that are magicians is
very,
so small.
Very sad. It's a sad
you
small.
You ever go to the Wonderground?
I know where it is. I've never been in there. I've been in other magic shops, but I never go to the magic
Because it's funny.
Shop.
I'm like, how does this store open?
Well, because when magicians come in there, they're probably dropping... Because there's guys that, like... A lot of the props you can't, you can only use once.
So they have a couple big money hustlers.
Well, no, but if you go in there, you might drop $200-$300 on magic gimmicks, but then you take those and you make a grand with them on your shows. And that's how they make money. Yeah, that's how they stay in business. Because if you're a magician, you need to go because you can't buy the stuff at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
There where you have mm-hmm. to go and you need it. You need
it's probably kind of like guitar stores.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you need to go in and buy these things that you run out of. And then what? Oh, The Simpsons! Every Simpsons ever is running on FXX. Me and Corey talked about this, and there was a big controversy. The early seasons came on, and they took these what would you call them? 3:2 ratio or 1.33 standard definition television ratio, squarish
right.
shows. They cut off the top and bottom and made them 16:9 for HDTV, and they looked terrible, and they blew it. and I hate them, and I can't watch them in that format.
Well, we're now at the point where we're past what anybody cares about.
But now I turned it on last night, and for the whole last weekend, it was the first six, seven classic seasons of The Simpsons. Now I turn it on, it's from 2000, and guess what? They've stopped cropping the shows in top and bottom. You know what they do now, Corey? They stretch them now horizontally. Oh. Hooray! You've ruined them in a whole new fucking way, Fox. You fucking cocksucking fucking assholes. Fuck you. Fuck fucking with your Simpsons. They do eventually become HD in season 20s when they actually went to full HD.
I was
going to
say, what season did the Simpsons
And they're
go
in season 25 now or something.
Well, and at a certain point, so they stopped being hand animated and started
and
being
they,
digital.
They started computer. They ruined these. Fuck you. I'm not watching them. Go fuck yourself. And I'm one of the biggest Simpsons fans ever. I went and bought a ticket in London when I was there to watch the Simpsons cast do a live read of a couple of scripts. And they were all there and did a Q&A. I'm a big fucking Simpsons nerd. And you suck. And you ruined it. Thank you very much.
Well, it did remind me that how great The Simpsons is. I did watch quite a few. But I sat there and went, I've got seasons.
Yeah, I've got them all on DVD,
I've got
too.
The first eight seasons on DVD.
I do, too, yeah.
Or maybe I don't have season one. But anyway, yeah. I just sat there and went, I could watch the great stuff anytime I want.
Yeah.
You should watch The Simpsons if you're not.
Right.
It's the best show
ever. And they sort of had a period. There was a slight return to form in the last few years because I know Al Jean came back, who was one of the original showrunners and is now run. And so you can watch them now and get a laugh.
They're
but
better.
They're not...
I will say that they're better for longer than people remember.
Yeah.
I would say most people go, well, after season 8, it took a dump.
Yeah, and it did.
But I think I think 9 and 10 are still really good.
But it there wasn't
maybe 12,
and
they start going.
And you could look at it as it's really related to the original writers, and when those guys all left, the guys that came in weren't as good, and then they sort of came back in drips and drabs, and they brought in some new writers, and some of those guys were good. And some.
Well,
so,
if you want to hear some Simpsons business.
Yeah.
This week on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, the Amazing Colossal podcast. Or no, last week.
It was two, yeah. Two,
sorry,
because
there's
ago,
been
yeah.
one since then. Listen to Mike Reese, who is partners with Al Jean.
Yeah.
Actually, a really entertaining show.
Yeah,
in
it was
terms
a very
of,
good show.
He talks about working for Johnny Carson. Yeah. He talks about writing sitcoms. The
Gary Shandling.
It's Gary Shandling show.
Yeah.
And a lot of inside trivia on The Simpsons.
Huh.
And, of course, Gilbert asks him about, well, they really take Johnny Carson behind
the They really do fuck with Johnny big time. And, and it's also funny that Mike Reese seems to not like any of the shit that he worked on, which are some of the great shows of all time. Mike has not a
know,
lot of good things to say about
it. I love
which
candor.
Is funny,
well,
but it is very revealing.
Okay,
and I like
the whole reason for podcasting initially is that it was supposed to be no rules.
Yeah.
And we used to say, boy, if we listen to our early shows, I'm sure we said completely ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
But I find that candor is increasingly hard to find on these shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Mike Reese was great. He dumped on everything.
Well, but apparently he makes these children's books. Probably still has some sweetheart deal from The Simpsons where he's probably a multi.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Without really even having to guess.
Did they
all
get
that
a producer
much,
credit? Al Jean and
Mike
Reese?
He was. They were the showrunners of The Simpsons in
sure,
those
sure,
early
sure,
years.
Sure.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. So
I mean, they said that nobody thought The Simpsons was going to last 6 weeks.
So. Yeah.
So anyway, it's stuff I've read before, but it was nice to hear.
Yeah, there's been some Simpsons books over the
that's
years.
That's a good episode. I love Gilbert's show, but I've figured out some themes.
Yeah.
That emerge.
Yeah.
You'll always hear on every episode either Boris Karloff or Bela Lugosi's name mentioned.
Sure.
Or maybe Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
Anything with old horror movies from the 30s and 40s. Those are big for
Robert. I'm really,
Jerry Lewis will be mentioned.
Well, I've heard more than one mention of Frank Nelson.
Yes.
Who was the yes guy. And I went back and you can watch whole reels of him, like when he was on Sanford and Son. And he would come on, you know, every few episodes, every once a season or whatever. And always playing a different guy but doing the exact same shtick. I think that's funny. I like that there's a place for that, you know.
Talking about guys being deprecating, I heard Dan Harmon's podcast.
Yeah.
Which is where Robin Williams
they
and
talked
Bobcat
about Upchuck
goofed on The Gathering.
Yeah.
He had Dana Carvey on.
Okay.
And it was actually a really good interview.
Okay.
And Dana was pretty interesting. And he was talking about the origins of a lot of his stuff and where he came up with the characters. But he said he was like, well, I really fucked up Wayne's World 2. I really blew that one.
How did he fuck that
and
up?
He said, and he's right, he forgot how to do Garth and started doing him more cartoony.
Oh.
And that he was like, the way he did it the first time, it was just kind of underreacting. Okay. And then he started making it really big. And, meh,
yeah.
And he said it was terrible. And Dan Harmon wouldn't let him. He's like, no, you're great. You're wonderful. But I'm like, no. Dana's being honest.
Well, but isn't Wayne's World 2? I mean, wouldn't they have made Wayne's World 8 if people would have given a shit about Wayne's World
2? Right.
Wouldn't
Wayne's World 2 still, really
right. I mean,
the whole,
they could have made 50 of those.
It killed the whole
It kind of killed the whole thing.
But
that's
I thought
happened.
It was great of Dana Carvey okay. to be to
him.
Say, I blew that. I was bad in it.
Good for him.
And Dan Harmon was like, no, you're my idol, but which I didn't
okay.
like. But
all right. Well,
anyway, when guys are honest, that's what we like.
As we like honesty. And we want to thank Ken Savera once again for coming on and being honest with us.
Who wasn't very honest, but and, still very good.
While we're talking about shout-outs, let me give a quick shout-out.
Ken was good.
To Mary Lynn Ricegub, who came into the Comedy Castle this weekend. She's a Chloe on 24, and she was on Mr. Show and a million. She's been
sure.
every Letterman, talk show, all that kind of stuff. She's originally from the Detroit area. And she did. She sold out the Comedy Castle on a Sunday night this weekend. She came
well,
in
there you
and,
go.
And had a big show. And through a crazy series of events, I ended up emceeing for her.
Well,
and
there you go.
I went out there, and it was a last minute thing. And she wanted me to open for her, and so I did. And I had a real nice show, and it felt good. And she was very, very sweet and very charming.
She was cool. I wish I had seen
and,
that show.
It was a good show. I like Mary Lynn a lot. So a shout out to Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Yeah,
for being cool.
I don't think I've ever seen her. I've seen her in improv and stuff.
Yeah,
but
and she's you know her stand up.
I never saw her do a stand-up.
Her stand up's not like stand up that like you would. Hear like a guy who's been doing stand up for 30 years do. It was like stories about her life told in a funny way, and there was a lot of fans of 24 there, and you know they would ask her questions, and she'd talk about how she met her husband, and you know like she was saying she doesn't know how to even use a computer, and all she's typing in her affirmations when it looks like she's supposed to be typing to Jack Bauer that she's saying you are pretty enough and you are that's what she's typing on. So it was like funny stuff like that. It was cute and Mary Lynn was super cool. So just a shout out to her. Anything else you want to wrap it up? I want to say one more thing. Fuck T-Mobile. I finally got rid of those idiots after the phone didn't work when we were trying to call. Who are we calling? John Tenney last week or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm now on Verizon. And fuck T-Mobile. I have the LG.
Fuck T-Mobile.
Fuck T-Mobile.
Fuck T-Mobile.
Why is that, Corey? Why should we fuck them?
You should go Verizon, number one.
I do. I have an LG phone. Is that a good phone to get?
LG.
Is that a good one?
Samsung better.
No, an LG. I had a Samsung, and I went to LG.
No, Samsung number one.
No, I went to LG.
Nokia. G3. Nokia, what do you
no,
need?
No, I don't like Nokia.
I got the pagers.
I
got Nextel. You want a
no? I have
you need
an
a Nextel phone.
No, I don't need a Nextel.
Ameritech.
I don't need.
You need a phone.
Singular wireless.
Singular. That's right.
All right, but I do have the LG G3, and I love it. I love.
That's right.
I love geeky tech, and this has a giant screen, and the camera's really nice. I have nice pictures of me and Mary Lynn Ricegub together. And it's cool, so I like it. So I'm very happy. And you know the cell phone companies are all at war with each other now.
Sure.
So everybody's dropping their prices and they're giving you more data and all that stuff. So it's a good time if you're shopping for a new phone. And then I think in September there's going to be a new Nexus phone from Google and there's going to be new iPhones. So it's a good time if you need a cell phone. Now's the time to get it. I also want to say fuck you to the city of Ferndale and their water department or whoever
Joel's
controls the
just
train.
Dropping bombs on everybody.
I just fucking I'm still cleaning up my basement. I took Corey down to see how far I've come with it. Now it involves individually taking CDs out of their cases and having the paper insert stuck to them and running them under the sink so I can rip them in my computer and then throw the whole fucking thing in the garbage. And that'll be my next life. That'll be my life for the next 2 weeks after I pressure washed all the shit water off the bottom of my basement floor.
I'd like
floor.
To say fuck you to the city of Atlanta.
Yes.
For having 2 inches of snow and bitching about it.
By the way, Corey did this Facebook post. He calls me up and he says Atlanta's a bunch of pussies because we got this storm and everyone's at the Dream Cruise and there's a million people having a good time. You know,
right.
5 days after we had this most legendary flood in the history of Detroit and all this stuff. And Atlanta's a bunch of pussies. And I go, Corey, you know, Atlanta's got their own issues and... You know, it's hard to criticize people, and I'm not really with you. Corey puts us on Facebook, and it blows up, and he's the big hero of the world. He preached right to the choir, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker, pro-Michigan, pro-Detroit, fuck Atlanta.
Look,
and everyone,
I don't do that kind
of stuff. Everyone sucked your knob. And I want to just give you credit that you wrote a post that I would feel weird or goofy about writing. Because number one, I don't agree with you, but even when I do, I feel like there's going to be people that will disagree with me. And it seems like almost nobody disagreed with you. So congratulations.
Well, look, I don't usually do that homery because I'm quite aware that this is a dump.
Right. Yeah.
But I just felt like that I never have heard any justification for like, well, people didn't know how to operate in the snow.
Yeah.
And I went, it's not that hard.
I know.
Figure it out. And then they were like, okay, no one knew how to drive in 14 feet of water in Detroit. That's never happened here
before. And people didn't, and they abandoned their cars. They had to have divers go rescue these cars on the freeway.
But I'm saying it was like, we had, this is a once in 50-year weather event. And people in this town, it was horrible, and it was bad.
But
what had happened? Nothing closed. Everybody went to work.
You know, the thing
it continued to go. Atlanta, we got 2 inches of snow. The world is over. Giggity. I'm going to go.
My feeling
I'm going to go take out my dentures and gum my wife. Fuck you.
Everybody has
peach
their
pie
natural
cobbler
disasters.
Eating fucking pussies.
Everybody has their problems. Let's not make fun of any city when they have theirs.
I will goddamn make fun of that garbage
What
dump,
about the Napa Valley earthquake?
Bowl.
You know how much wine was destroyed this weekend in Northern California, Corey? Do you have any idea?
But you know what? You know what? There was a big earthquake in San Francisco. I didn't hear anybody fucking bitching in San Francisco going,
they're bitching.
Oh, look at our earthquake.
Oh, no, they're bitching.
They know that. They live in a fucking, they live on top of a fissure in the earth. They live on top
of
it.
Starting to sound like Kinnison about living in the desert.
Right. But fucking Atlanta, these pussies.
Nothing grows here.
Well, that is a great
I was listening to Sam's first comedy album the other day. As I was ripping, you know, I was adding stuff because I use Google Play Music. So if there's stuff that's on Google Play Music, I wouldn't even rip the CD. I'd just throw it in the garbage and add it to Google Play.
Sure.
And I was adding some Schimmel albums, Robert Schimmel, who was my inspiration for comedy. And his CDs were all
wet and ruined. Well, we have him to blame.
Well, exactly, yes, and he's dead now, so it's too late to blame him even. But, you know, and then it said, well, you might also like Sam Kinison. And I said, oh, what Sam Kinison album's on there? And I listened to some of Sam's first album.
All right,
great.
There you go.
So anyway, having said all that,
all right.
Having talked to Ken Savara, having gotten to the bottom of the 79, how many bags of chips did you bring to the show? And you didn't even open them.
No.
Did you open those peanut M&Ms?
I have not.
What did you eat? Did you eat my gummy bears?
I didn't
bears?
Eat anything. I was too
did
busy.
Did you eat Mike Dubb
chocolate? I was too riveted in the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I guess that's a good show
then.
All
right, there you go.
Well, hope everybody liked it. Go listen to Ken Savara's show. We want to thank Ken once again. He was a good guy. Let's give it up for Ken. Come on. Round of applause.
No, it's cool. That's cool. It's always cool to hear a guy was around.
The guy would he lived it. We hear about it. Sure. We think about what a legendary time. And there's guys that lived it, and they're still around, and they're friends with us, and that's cool too. So thanks to him. Thanks to you guys for listening. Don't forget, Joel Radio is on Twitter at Joel Radio Show. Corey Hall Comic, is that how they get you on the Twitter?
At Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
At Corey Hall Comic on Twitter. You can like Joel Radio on Facebook. Of course, review us and like us on iTunes and Stitcher and all that stuff. If you want to leave feedback, you can leave a comment on the show. I want to thank Brent for Toronto, who really liked the Robin Williams show. And everybody who listens, thanks to you. We've got a big show next week, I think. I'm not even going to tease it. You
right.
never know with
all
these
right.
things. But we should have a big announcement. Well, Tenney sort of teased it. We might have a big announcement from John Tenney next time. You never know.
Sure.
Or I might just talk about...
We'll talk about the same crap we always
how I took a how I shit my pants after eating Five Guys. Who knows?
Oh, that's
it. Could be one or the other.
It's an encore present.
Could be one of those shows.
An encore present.
It should be one of these shows. So you never know with us.
Maybe we'll have a guest big time us and
could
show up.
Well, you know, hey, what can you do?
All right.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.